Blog Talk Radio.
Let her go, Chadwick. Turn up your radio. Build a whiskey and drink it down slow. It's Whiskey Bant in the pit. If you don't listen, boy, you ain't shit outlaw barbecue show. He's an all-night smoker, a cold beer holder. His spare ribs will blow your mind. And with his Cosmos Q and his Green Mountain Grill, he'll walk the stage every time. Turn on your radio, crack a beer, Chad's ready to go. It's Whiskey Band in the pit all night, late night. If you don't listen, boy, you ain't right. Outlaw Barbecue Show. Whiskey Band in the pit radio show. Good for the egg shakes and saggy. Can I get a raise? Hell, come on. Woo.
All right, there it is, guys. Just did a little brown water toast to my boy Dorsey Odell bringing us in. That music means one thing. It's Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, and this is this week's Whiskey Bent in the Pit. November 19th, I'm your host, Chad Ward, after a three-week, I don't know. It was a hiatus. Good to be back on. So a little catch-up on us. We are coming into our fourth consecutive week where we've got a contest. We started off in November out in Laughlin, Nevada at Ronnie Cates Smoke on the Water Productions USA BBQ Championships. That was a damn good time. I do think the median age in Laughlin that weekend dropped about 25 years, because I think without us barbecue folks there, I think the average age is probably about 89. A lot of old people in Laughlin. They all like to smoke. That casino was definitely very smoky, the Don Laughlin Riverside Resort. But good time, good host. We took a 16th in ribs, put a little casino chips in our pocket on that, and I think I don't remember, 20-something out of 80-something. Better than half the field, but had a pretty decent cook. Hit some tables that weren't the easiest, but that's the way life goes. Came back on Sunday to Vegas, did a whole lot of sports book sweating with my man Matt Van, who came out and cooked both contests with us. And, it was good to have him there. I'll tell you what, guys, if you've never sat in a Fremont Street casino sports book on a Sunday for numerous hours, you need to do that. Especially if you're having any thoughts like, man, my life kind of sucks. Things could be going better. Why don't you go down in that cesspool for about 6 hours? You will realize life's great. Life's good. You should really enjoy it. But it's good, man. I mean, there's nothing better than sweating a bunch of NFL games. You're betting on overs, unders, teasers, parlays. Good stuff. So it was a lot of fun. Kind of just hung out Monday, Tuesday. Got down to business on Wednesday, loaded in for the World Food Championships. What an absolute blast to see all the people, all the friends, you know, being fortunate enough to travel across the country a couple times a year and cook barbecue. Meet a lot of great people. Got to see my buddy Tom Barra from Philly Blind Pig. He's in chat tonight. Got to see local smoke guys. Got to see Barbecue Guru. Hang out with Pitmaker, the guys from Texas. And then all the Florida people we had. We were fortunate. We had five teams make the trip for the USA Barbecue Championships and the World Foods. Us, Whiskey Bent Barbecue, Damon from Wooly Bully Barbecue Mafia. He didn't cook Laughlin, but he did cook the World Foods, moved on with us in the top 10. You had Dana, Big Papa Hillis, Big Papa's Country Kitchen, first place pork at the World Foods. You had Jim Elser from Sweet Smoke Q. You had Matt Barber from Hot Wachulas, which are 1 and 2 FBA Team of the Year. Really cool. Big thanks to Mike Lake. Mike Lake was loading the teams in. He gave us Florida boys a little 10 by 60 section. So all five teams set up their own 10 by 10, and then we had a 10 by 10 in the middle where we had all of our chairs. And it was just really, really cool to get to hang out and cook in such close quarters next to each other, because when we cook down here, you know, we're usually all off in our trailer and this and that. Also got to send some big thanks to Peter Knight from Vegas Soul Barbecue Team. Peter and his partner Jim were absolute lifesavers. Those were the guys that took the Southern Bread from Laughlin down to Vegas, held it at their house, brought it for load-in, held it after the contest till it got picked up. Big thanks to IAB 30 for actually bringing the SBS from Arizona after our initial one that we had all planned out was destroyed by UPS Freight. You know, a lot of people, and that's just the barbecue community, just damn good folks, always helping out, you know, always getting through, you know, and making sure whatever teams can help, need help, get help. So thanks to everyone that assisted us in Vegas. Lucas Hand out in Vegas, he always helps us out there. He cooked with us. Really, really good time and just a really good guy. So, you know, thanks to everybody that helped us out. As you know, I mean, it's been a bit now. We finished sixth overall. We took a second brisket, fifth in Chef's Choice. Love the format. You know, you cook you cook three KCBS categories on Friday, so you cook everything but chicken. The top 10 from that move on and cook Chef's Choice. You know, I was on Rempy's show last week and talked about it, so I'm not going to beat it to death on my show. But the thing I liked about it was that it allowed you to have some creativity. Plus, I mean, you know, we had the Whiskey Bent Dream Team out there. You know, we had Jared Hatcher, which is, you know, almost at every contest with me. So that was good. We had Matt Vannon from Cleveland. You know, he doesn't get to cook with us as much as he'd like to, but he's always good for 4 to 6 contests a year. We had JP, our buddy from Cleveland / Florida, and then we had Lucas Hand from Whiskey Bent Vegas out there with us. So we had a great team for Chef's Choice. For some reason, we decided to cook bison tri-tip. Felt like we had to go outside the box. It was damn good. Also want to thank my boy over at Route 66 Catering. Kind of cool to find out he actually raises bison. So while we were cooking our test bison, we were getting a lot of his feedback on time, temperature, doneness, all that type of stuff. But for you guys that are interested, real quick what we did, Matt made a awesome kind of herbal marinade. So a lot of thyme, a lot of rosemary, some salad oil, a little bit of olive oil, a lot of citrus juices. It was a really, really good marinade. Let it sit down on that for about 2 hours. Pulled it out. We figured they loved our beef brisket taste the day before. So we took in, used our beef brisket injection very lightly into it, went and ran our beef rub profiles on it. Took it, put it in the SBS at 225 degrees, heavy, heavy cherry smoke. Put like I usually only put one chunk in at the time, and I maybe used two or three a whole contest. I actually put three chunks of cherry in. Wanted that bison to get a really deep color, and wanted it to really have a nice deep smoke to it. And I knew cherry wouldn't overdo it. Cooked that thing for about 1 hour and 20 minutes at 225. We were looking for a target temperature internal of about 128. When we did that, I had made a compound butter out of clarified butter, truffle, goat cheese, a little bit of Gouda, a little bit of provolone, some horseradish, a little bit of mustard. Had that really, really thin. So when we came off the SBS at 128, we dipped the tri-tips in that and then put it over on the new Fast Eddie PF500 at about 600 degrees on the sear side, and we seared it for 3 minutes each side. Put it in a pan, covered it for 10 minutes, and then it was perfect, perfect 140 whenever we got it out, sliced it up. Jared and Matt did a beautiful job on the presentation. Had a little bit of Out West, but then also had some Florida flavors to it. You know, we presented all of our tri-tip slices on an orange wedge and ended up hearing later on that Famous Dave seemed to think that thing was great. He loved it. He was squeezing the orange juice onto the bison. He thought it was a great entry. And so we were fortunate. We ended up moving up from 10th to 6th, and it was a really, really good time. And congratulations to Vic and George and the boys over at Pitmaker. Those guys cooked their ass off and did a great job and ended up finished 2nd overall out of all the categories at the World Foods. So once again, barbecue was well, well represented. With that being said, real quick, before I go over to my first guest, Scott Cotney, which is coming off a Reserve Grand Championship there when Pigs Fly South. Let's talk real quick about the lineup. We're going to start with Scott. Then we're going to move on to Jeff from Give It to God, which was your grand champion at When Pigs Fly South. And boy, does he have a hell of a story about how he got in that contest. It's going to be interesting. We're going to let him tell that. Then we got two show favorites, man, two of my favorite people in the world. Got to get the Cowboy back on, Kent Rollins. Everybody's been asking for him. We're going to bring him back. Kent was on Chopped while I was out in Vegas, had his second chance at a little bit of redemption. And, boy, we're going to go through it with him. So we're not going to, you know, people that haven't seen it, we'll go through the categories and talk to him about that. But, boy, love that Cowboy, man. Great guy. And then we're going to finish up with my favorite barbecue sister from another Mista, Danielle Domofsky, Diva Q. We're going to talk to her. She had a crazy year this year out filming Barbecue Crawl, cooking a whole bunch of contests all over the country. And she just came out with her 2013 Christmas gift idea for all you barbecue lovers. And we're going to hit on that blog post a little bit and talk about some of those things. So great show lined up for you tonight. Good folks, four of them. This 2 hours is going to go by fast. Hell, I've already rambled for the first 11 of it. So real quick before we go over to Scott, I want to thank big sponsor of the show, sponsor of the barbecue team. That's Grizzly Coolers. If you don't keep up with Grizzly, you need to go like them on Facebook. Actually, one thing I love about that brand, they're always good about, you know, giving you some behind the scenes, you know, pictures of stuff they're working on, color schemes, new sizes, new handle designs, all those things. Very innovative company. And definitely better than that other cooler brand that's a four-letter word. Lifetime guarantee on everything. Pricing is very, very competitive. We have a 150 and a 75. Love to death. Cook on all the, you know, use them cooking out all the time. Be honest with you, my toy hauler, I had all my ice, my drinks in my 75. We cooked last weekend. We know we're cooking this weekend. I took and threw a bag of ice in there. When we closed it up and dropped it off on Sunday, and I know I'll have ice cold beer when I go out there Thursday night. So, you know, it's one of those things, guys. You know, if you're gonna make an investment, you're gonna get into this game. Definitely recommend you get a good cooler. The other thing to remember about it too is, I mean, they're so well insulated. I was in a pinch a couple of weeks ago, and I actually used my 75 to keep a couple small pans of food warm. And it did a heck of a job. Laid a towel down in it, put a couple pans on top of each other, half pans, fit in there perfect, put a little towel on top, closed it, and it held that damn food warm damn near 24 hours, kept it out of the danger zone. So, you know, a lot of versatility to these. I love them to death. Go check them out, grizzlycoolers.com. You won't regret it. If you do purchase one and you don't like it, call me and call me out, because I'm going to call you a liar, because we love ours. And if you're interested, he's actually in chat tonight for the first time, but you can also contact Mitchell Bedwell on Facebook, and he's kind of the barbecue czar of Grizzly Coolers to all the guys that are out there in the marketplace. So check him out. You won't regret it. That being said, I got two 863 numbers. I'm going to guess Mr. Cotney's is 409. Scott, what's up, buddy? Yep. Is this you?
It's me. How you doing, Chad?
Hey, man, I am doing I'm doing extremely well. Let me see this 585 is. Who we got there? Hello.
Hey, Chad, it's Elser.
Oh, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, dude? You just hanging out and listening to it?
I'm trimming my chicken for this weekend, just listening to the show, man.
Awesome, dude. I appreciate it, man. You go try to work on that pork score this weekend?
Yeah, that's something. I don't know.
Dude,
I don't know what to do.
Dude, doesn't that suck when it's your strongest category and you've been dominating in it, and then just three contests in a row, you're like, what the F? But
yeah.
You know what that means?
Yeah.
That means you're probably going to get a perfect 200 pork up there in Jacksonville.
I'll take that.
Well, hey, buddy, I appreciate you listening. Good luck. I know you and Matt Barber there are locked up, man. I think I hope it's going to be fun to kind of watch those awards play out while we're all in Plant City, and I hope a clear cut leader kind of comes out of there going into Perry. So I think it'll be a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, hopefully it's on my end.
Hey, well, dude, y'all are both IPC boys, man. I'm not going to get in the middle of this. Both good friends. May the better cook the next two contests win. How's that sound?
That's right. That's right. That's all. That's all I can ask for.
All right, brother.
Well, good
enjoy
luck, guys, this weekend.
All right, man. I appreciate you too. Safe travels up to Jax.
All right, thanks, man.
All right, buddy. Later. All right, sorry, guys. That was Jim Elser. Just want to check that out. Scott, I'm all yours now, man. Scott Cotney, United Pork Smokers. What's going on tonight?
Another night. How you doing?
Good, man, good. So how's it feel coming off that RGC?
It was good. It was a little disappointing being half a point away from a GC, but we'll definitely take the RGC. That's for sure. Have to say thanks to Jim, too, for the Sweet Smoke Q. Did pretty well in pork, and a lot better than he did, I should say. But at least we're using his product, so he still scored very well overall, so can't complain for him. But it's a great product.
No, absolutely. The Q juice is definitely strong. You know, we've been using it here for a little bit with a couple other things, and we like it a lot too. So yeah, most definitely. If people haven't checked that out, you can check it out online. Over at Jim's website, Sweet Smoke Q. But, yeah, it's definitely a really strong product. So, all right, man. Well, before all this happened, you were fortunate enough, because your Mulberry win last year, to get that draw to the Jack. So let's step back for a second and talk about that. You know, first, you know, I think you may have showed up at the Jack with the coolest damn cook trailer at the whole contest. You know, and then second, just, you know, let's talk a little bit about the experience. What was it? Well, first, tell people about what you did with the cook trailer, because it's really badass. I got to walk through it actually Saturday night after awards, and I was pretty impressed by it.
Well, we had, you know, like a lot of the guys, we had a regular old toy hauler, and two guys on our team, Ed Motti and Rick Morrison. Rick pulled the thing pretty much everywhere with his dually, and mid last year, Rick decided it was time to trade that dually in and get a Porsche. So that played a little hard for the tow package. So I, you know, my Tundra could pull it, but you know, it was almost 9,000 pounds loaded down, and the Tundra just wasn't doing it. So just set my sights on something that we could drive somewhere and cook out of, completely inside, completely indoors. You know, especially down here in Florida, you know how the weather gets. So we figured, we looked at school bus upon school bus and planned on doing a patio style where, you know, just cut off the back 10 feet and cook outside. And I ran across this 1986 Bloodmobile, you know, generator, 15,000-watt generator, fully insulated, all the electricity, everything but the plumbing. And we made it happen. We cut out the back wall with the interview areas and made that the smoke area and put an exhaust fan in and direct vent outside, and it was just great with the tile inside. We built a bathroom, kept a couple of the actual blood draw chairs to sleep in, and it turned out great. It's been wonderful. It was a little scary. You know, we bought that not knowing we were going to the Jacks, and about a week after we got it, we got the draw, so it was time to get it up and running. And you know, we mainly cook Central Florida and stuff like that. We weren't expecting to take it 1,400 miles there and back, and ran like a champ. Never had a problem, no hitches, and showed up and did a good cook at the Jack. I mean, quite the experience up there.
Yeah, I know. And you guys, if you're at a contest with Scott, ask for the Grand Tour of this thing. It is pretty badass. The guys did it right. I mean, it's really cool. I can see how you love that thing as a cook trailer. So it does. It holds out, gets you there to 1,400 miles. You show up at the Jack, and is it what everybody says it is, man? Is it just one of those experiences that's hard to summarize?
It is. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of us are spoiled down here, and well, most contests, I think you're spoiled. You get here, and you know, everybody's bitching and complaining about power and water and this and that and the other. And up there, you know, it's an invitational. It was, if you want water and it's not near you, go get it. And we were lucky. We had power and water right next to us. We did end up running the generator pretty much 24 hours a day just because the power was very limited. But we were lucky to have water. There was guys hauling 10-gallon buckets left and right. And it's 27 degrees. But it could have been 27 below, just the camaraderie of the people and the way the Jack you know, people treated you was just, it was great. I mean, the experience to just to be in the competition with, you know, 100 of the best cooks around was, you know, we had to do it. You know, when we got the draw, there was no way we were going to miss it. I may never get to do it again. But if you ever get the draw, anybody, they've got to take it. I mean, it was the ultimate party, I'll tell you that.
And that's awesome. And then you went, I mean, you had a very respectful cook. I mean, you finished, you know, 30 out of 100, top team out of the state of Florida. I mean, you went there and you did a great job. I mean, that in itself, I mean, when you look at it, a lot of contests, you're like, 30th. But, golly, when you look down that list of cooks, I mean, you know, everybody had to cook to get in. So, I mean, it's one of those things, you know, you got to be real proud of that. You got to be pretty happy coming home.
We were stoked. I mean, it was we were happy with everything we turned in. You know, we cooked the weekend before, 2 weekends before, in Mulberry this year, which was, you know, what we wanted to get into the Jack the year before, and ended up 30th at Mulberry, and just weren't happy with anything. And that was our first cook in the trailer, was at Mulberry. And we tweaked a couple things and made some changes in cook times and, you know, how the trailer cooks, and change up the hopper. Dennis up at Smoke Daddy sent us down a hopper, and you know, we kind of built the smoker that's in the back there, and it cooked great. We couldn't ask for a better cook, especially in 27 degrees. You know, it didn't really affect us being inside.
Right.
So it worked out good, but yeah, to finish 30th amongst the group we were among was just, it was phenomenal. I mean, it, you know, that 30th place last weekend, just to tell you the scores, I mean, would have been a 10th place where we were last week. So,
sure.
You know, it was good scores. I mean, like I said, the new format, or not format, but the new scoring sheets and everything kind of explains it a lot better. And, you know, we only won one table up there, and which wasn't our highest category. But, you know, the way it explains everything, it's just great, the new KCBS scoring. And, I mean, it's just, like I said, can't put enough words into it. Just the whole town of Lynchburg, the whole area, the whole Jack experience, the barbecue hill, the party they throw, the souvenirs, everything. It was just the ultimate barbecue experience for me so far.
No, that's very cool, and hopefully one day we'll make it. But, yeah, it seemed like a lot of fun. And, you know, so you're coming out of that. Had you already planned on cooking when pigs fly south?
Well, when pigs – no, we were planning on cooking Plant City, but I coach a 12U competitive baseball team that my son's on, and it's kind of – this year is just going to be kind of shallow for our cooking because we're just spending time with the kids. And this is a big year for us in baseball. We go up to Cooperstown this summer and spend a week up there with the kids and, you know, do all that good stuff. So a tournament, actually, our league championship falls this coming weekend, and we were kind of off this past weekend. So last minute we decided to do When Pigs Fly South instead of Pig Jam, and probably for the better.
For us. Yeah, absolutely. Let's check out of the barbecue talk for 1 second. Because you're talking about, you know, coaching your kids 12 and under league. And you know, I mean, barbecue's always going to be there, Scott. I mean, your boy, I mean, that's the kind of shit you can't pass up on. So I completely agree and support that. But I know you're very active in it. Do you think AAU baseball may be the death of regular little leagues?
Absolutely. I won't say it'll ever be the death of little league. But for a competitive little league, absolutely. Little league is, you've always got the Little League World Series, and I mean, it's sad to say we actually were combined with another team out of Plant City, which has one of the best little leagues around, and we ended up breaking apart because they were more worried about Plant City All-Stars because of the Little League World Series than, you know, just straight up baseball. And
right.
But our league, our travel league, just in the fall, I mean, we have 36 12U teams, and that's only because they cap it at 36.
Wow.
You know, but we were in the state championship tournament, which Lake Renegades won last weekend, or 2 weekends ago. I think we had 32 teams just in our 12U division, there was over 150 teams from 8U to 18U.
Wow.
And it's much more competitive. It's expensive, but to get your kid to compete at any level of baseball nowadays, especially going into high school and on to college and anywhere else, and you can't just play little league one time a year and expect to get there.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. I wanted to get your take on it, because obviously when we were growing up, it was a whole lot different. I mean, it wasn't until we were older that AAU was just starting to make, kind of turn the corner a little bit, so all we knew was, whatever it was, Little League or Babe Ruth or, whatever, classification or sanctioning you played in. But that's really, really interesting take on that. So we'll get back to the barbecue portion of the show, but I knew you had a little bit of knowledge there, so I wanted to tap into it a little bit. It's a tough-looking team. I mean, you got our tough-looking field. I mean, you got True Bud. You got a lot of the guys. Then you got just the whole IPC Florida crowd. IAB 30 comes in from Arizona. Like I said, True Bud comes in. You got a couple of Ringer KCBS teams trying to knock out some points here late in the year. And you go off and you take RGC. How was the cook Friday night, Saturday?
Oh, it was great. I mean, it was we basically came – the way we came off of the Jack, we said if we can replicate the Jack, we should be able to score a top five at any KCBS event we cook in Florida. And we've seen that a lot better KCBS profile than we do FBA. Last year we did very well in the few FBAs we did, but, last year, Pig Fest, we had a – I don't remember, fourth chicken, seventh rib, second chicken, fourth seemed to cater a little bit more to the KCBS than we do, which is something we're working on. We got as much FBA as there is around here, we got to figure that back out. We figured if we could replicate it, we did. It wasn't, chosen the brisket score, wasn't super happy with the briskets right out of the bag, but they actually cooked well, and then, take the blame for that. The burnt ends were a little fatty, a little burnt, and I should have just kept them out of the box, but it is what it is, and I could have had a half point better in chicken, and it would be a different story, so.
Right,
can't just blame that.
I've always been a proponent of, and some people, kind of feel that you got to have burn ends to win, and I don't agree with it. I mean, I think if it doesn't improve the box, it doesn't go in. And so, I'm talking to Jimmy Dort from Smokin' Slims, who ties for first in brisket. We're walking to awards, and he straight up told me, he said, my burn-ins didn't get there. He said, I left them out of the box. What do you think? I said, dude, he said, my slices were right on it, though. I said, well, I said, they can only judge you by what you put in the box. Only supposed to. It's your kind of screw up if you put something in there that ain't on point. But that that's the whole thing, man. That's living and learning. Kind of walking through the categories. Go ahead.
No, and that's our biggest thing is living and learning. This year's Pig Fest will be my fourth pig. That 4 years ago was my first competition ever. At Pig Fest, and we're still living and learning, and thank God we have the IPC because everybody in here is great, and they like to share and help everybody out, and it's been great. Now, I mean, Rick that cooks with us, he cooked with Matt years ago, and Ed that cooks with us, he actually came on with me 2 years ago, just me and him, and that was the first time he ever cooked. So, we're kind of and it, only doing six or seven the last couple of years per year is we're still newbies, but I think we're coming along. We're making it happen.
No, you're definitely making a name for yourself. That's for sure. Let's go through the categories real quick before we have to check out. On chicken, obviously the majority of guys are cooking thighs. Are you kind of in that thigh game? Are you doing anything different? Are you just cooking it well?
No, it's all thighs. I mean, we took a little different approach as far as how we baby the chicken because of the jack.
Yep.
You know, for the jack, you're cooking white meat, and you have to baby the hell out of that chicken cook.
Yep.
And it just gave us a little different perspective on our thighs. We did switch back to a different thigh. We had a string of three or four firsts in chicken last year and a half, and we just kind of stuck with it, and then it started dropping, and we switched back to went to the whole free range, the whole this, the whole that, and we just said screw it and went back to a big old fatty chicken, spent a lot more time babying it and trimming and cutting and getting a lot bigger pieces, but it's just straight thighs, that's all we're putting in.
No, that's cool. I mean, I know it seems that there may be a little bit of, I mean, I thought of some guys, seems like there may be a little bit of a move back to the boneless side, but I think, you know, at the end of the day, if you can cook a nice bone-in thigh, it's good moist, it's got good color, good flavor, it's just hard to beat. And plus, I mean, you're just going to, if you are that fifth or sixth box at the table evaluates, you're just a lot better off with that bone in the middle trying to keep that, you know, warm.
Oh, I agree. Totally agree.
Now on the rib side, are you doing spares? You doing backs? What's your preference there?
Well, it's all spares. And that's actually Rick's job. He's the rib cook in the bunch here. I don't do much with it, but sauce it and cut it. I get the knife, but he that's his little baby there. And Rick cooked for a long time, like I said, with Matt years ago and Craig Albert and all those guys years back, and took a long time off, and then me and him started up a couple years ago, and taking him some time. I mean, we had some rib cooks that were just terrible, and he knew it, and not that they were cooked bad, we just couldn't find the flavor, couldn't find anything, and everything changed over the years he had been out, but he's been kicking butt lately, man, and it's pretty much all his deal right there. But it's all spare ribs. Like to trim them down himself. But, you know, it is what it is with those. I can't tell you much about the ribs, honestly, other than, you know, the rub and the sauce, the rub Rick makes himself, and sauce I make myself, and I get to cut them and put them in the box. That's about it.
Well, that's awesome, man. The and just using a, you know, like a Sam's Club rib or just a regular old rib. I mean, not Duroc or any of that, you know, crazy European pork.
We've been getting everything over at Master Purveyors.
Man, I don't know where you guys heard about that from, but good job.
Well, Jay over at Pitmasters, he's been helping us out. Doing us some favors and getting us some meat. I mean, he's actually been handpicking our ribs for us and our brisket, so, and our pork for that matter. The only thing we've been getting is chicken. It just with him being over in Tampa, it makes it a lot easier. And so he'll go get it, and we put the trust in his hands to pick it out the first time, and it worked out great. So then we took it to the jack, and it worked out great again. And I mean. So we just kind of said, hey, if you don't mind, let's let it roll. And he's done wonders for us. So great guy.
And Master Purveyors are great people to work with. We've been working together for two and a half years. And Sean over there, man, he gets you whatever you need. And heck, I bet there's about 10 or 12 teams from around here that are getting their stuff there. So and that always helps too, because that means we're always getting in fresh product. It's turning a lot. We got a lot of things to choose from.
Yeah, he's been great. I mean, he's been great with the product he keeps in. Like I said, you know, the first time we just been getting the regular, going on to brisket, I guess, the regular
prime
choice brisket, prime briskets and stuff like that from him. And when we went to the Jack, we went with that Australian he's got, and what a difference.
I don't know if I can be saying that, but. No. No, that Australian Wagyu that he carries is really, really good. It's one of those things. I would say the first one, there's a little bit of learning curve to it. But the ones that I've cooked, they've been really, really good. Yeah, I completely agree.
They take a little longer, if you ask me, but
right. Well, it's just one of the one thing I notice about them is it doesn't seem to. I rarely ever see plateaus with them. You know, they seem to cook through pretty consistent. You know.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
So, well, brother, I got to run. I got to go on. You know,
sure.
No offense. I got to go over to the GC.
Yeah. Well, give Jeff my best. Thanks for letting me go first, but I appreciate the time, and it's been wonderful.
No problem, brother. We'll miss you this weekend. When are we going to see you next? Probably Pigfest?
That's probably going to be at that, or we may have a little practice blowout here in the South Lakeland hood, so you're close enough. We'll get you by. But other than that, it'd probably be Pigfest.
Awesome, man. Well, good luck with the baseball tournament this weekend. Anybody you want to thank before you get out of here?
I need to thank Jay over at Pitt Masters just for all he's done for us, and Ed and Rick, you know, cooking and working on this bus, and my wife for putting up with that bus in the driveway, and my neighbors for putting up with that bus in the driveway. But that's pretty much it, man. And I appreciate you for letting me come on the show. It's been wonderful.
Absolutely, man. Great job again last weekend. Good luck at the baseball tournament, and we will talk to you soon, Scott. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Chad.
Yes, sir, buddy. All right, guys. Scott Cotney, United Pork Smokers, comes in, leads off the show. Great guy, great cook this weekend. And I'll tell you what, man, I'd keep my eye out for him. They're on fire, cooking well. I mean, I think anybody would take a 30th at the Jack, you know, compared to, you know, when you look comparatively at the teams out there. And then to come back into what I think was a pretty damn good field this past weekend and take RGC, I think it's really, really good. Real quick, talking about really good fields and really good contests, I want to talk to you about a contest coming up second weekend of February, FBA contest, $25,000 prize pool. GC is going to walk away with 10 Gs. The Outdoor Festival in Apopka. You need to go check it out. If you're not following it, do it. Go over on Facebook. Take a look at it, the Outdoor Festival. They just got done announcing the acts that are going to play there. Absolutely ridiculous. We're talking about top recording artists. You know, you've got the Eli Young Band and Craig Morgan. They're going to be playing Eli Young Band Saturday night, February 8th. Craig Morgan Sunday, February 9th. It's going to be a barbecue competition like usual, Friday night, Saturday turn-ins. Then you hang around the next day if you want to, and you're cooking the chili contest. So take all that nice leftover brisket, make a badass chili, and see if you can't win a little bit of money there. But just the barbecue portion, $25,000. Chuck and the folks over in Apopka, they're really committed to this. Anybody that I talked to that cooked this contest last year said they will not miss it this year. We're talking about free beer for the barbecue teams. 50-amp power, huge spots, plenty of parking. It is very, very, very cooker-friendly. Go check it out. Old Florida Outdoor Festival.com. Old Florida Outdoor Festival.com. Go check it out. Get signed up. I'm going to tell you, I think that thing is going to have 75 to 80 teams easy. And I don't know if he's going to have to or not, but Chuck may have to cap the field. So if it was me, I'd get in there. And I'd get signed up early. I think it's going to be a really, really good contest. All right, with that being said, let me come over to Jeff and give it to God. Jeff, how's it going, buddy?
Yeah, I'm doing great, Chad. How you doing?
Good, man. Did you safely get back to Louisiana? Were you kind of just floating the whole way home or what?
Well, that's part of the story. You know, this story of this whole thing just keeps going on and on and on.
I will tell you, man, and real quick, let's do an intro about you and your team, and then we'll kind of dive into that story because it is an epic classic, man. So what got you into this whole barbecue thing, Jeff?
Well, I'm actually starting my fourth year. I started off my father-in-law and I were building some just stick burner pits, and he has a little hobby shop, and. I wanted to just show the pits that we were building, and there's a cook-off here in Ponchatoula and they didn't have any kind of vendor spaces available. So I said, well, heck, I guess I'll cook. And that was the start. And, you know, I cooked the first one and got hooked. And this last weekend was contest number 62. So in 3 years, 62 competitions. So I'm hooked.
Wow, that's great. And I know you like to travel a little bit. You know, obviously getting down here to Florida. You know, I met you in Pensacola earlier this year. So you know, I know you like to get around, and I know you like to cook, and I know I do too. And I think that's one of the cool things is, you know, getting to meet all the folks that we get to meet, and you know when I came and cooked in Louisiana with Danielle, you know, you Louisiana folks were just nice as could be. I can't speak, you know, I can't say enough praises about how cool it was. So I'm sure it's kind of fun to go out and travel and meet people, but then it's also great to cook some contest in your home state and be able to show that hospitality and help out wherever you can.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you know what it is. And Chad, there's just, you know, I mention this a lot. You know, it's just something really cool about barbecue people and no matter where you go, I think. And because it's a reality, we have a passion for cooking and we love to cook. We love to compete. It's more of an internal competition than anything else, but we have that, and I think all of us have that servant kind of spirit also where we really want to make people feel good. You know, we like cooking for people and giving them food and making them feel comfortable, and it's just a hospitality thing that, you know, that you'll find that I find at competitions no matter where I go. And that's just cool people to hang around. You know, it just makes for a really, really cool crowd to interface with.
Absolutely, and you know, the other thing I want to hit on a little bit, because I think it's, you know, obviously, you know, very unique with your team name, you know, being, you know, Give It to God, you know, definitely support it. But I think it's definitely one of those things, you know, a lot of our barbecue team names, you know, everybody kind of, you know, punches around, you know, it's kind of a lot of foolery. But, you know, obviously that's a name that means a lot to you. And I have to say, you know, having cooked with you at numerous contests, you know, obviously you have a purpose, and I think you do it, you know, is very tastefully and very – it's one of those things, you know, a lot of times when you start talking about religion, people get a little bit tense and this and that. And I think kind of the way you handle yourself, it's one of those if somebody wants to come and talk about the word, you're very open, but I've never seen you kind of put yourself upon people or anything like that. And I got to give you, you know, big props for that, because I think a lot of people get – once again, you know, when you start, you know, kind of mixing religion into things, a lot of people get a little hesitant. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. That and politics, you know, those are the two things you're never supposed to talk about.
Exactly.
Well, I appreciate that, Chad. You know, the thing with me, Give It to God, the name says it all in what it's about. And it's, you know, me personally, it's just an area that God has kind of shown me that he wants me to be in, and he keeps reconfirming that over and over and over again that he wants me to be there. And it's really not about, you know, preaching hellfire and damnation, you know, in and amongst people that are having fun and, you know, enjoying themselves. What it is it's about just being consistent and building relationships out there one at a time with people. I can't tell you, you know, it's a blessing for me that there are quite a few cooks that I've made relationships with, and, you know, sometimes, you know, it'll be a year or 2 years later, but, you know, something will happen in their life, and you know, I'll get a message, you know, or I'll get a phone call, you know, hey, I'm going through a hard time, you know, can you help me or pray for me, or, you know, I need somebody to talk to, and that's the guy I want to be, you know, and that's, to me, that's what it's all about. It's not about religion. It's about relationship, and that's what I'm trying to do. You know, I'm out there, and I'm out there cooking and trying to do well. And, you know, I think for a while when I got started, people just looked at me as the Jesus freak out there, you know, and nobody really took me seriously as a barbecue cook. But I think people are maybe thinking a little differently now. So it's all good.
No, I think most definitely you have to be, you know, I mean, yeah, I obviously, you know, I follow a lot of teams. And, you know, I always keep an eye out for you whenever I see your name in the results. And you keep moving up and up and up, and you hit the top this weekend.
Yeah.
Tell the folks about how you – because, man, when I saw you Friday morning, this was an absolutely hilarious story. Tell the folks how you get to Lakeland, man.
Well, Well, you know, okay, it is a great story. I mean, there's more to the story before or after. Actually, I was passed over twice for a television show that they're filming, once as a contestant and once as a judge. The concept is God and barbecue. Obviously, you'd think I'd be a great fit.
Yeah.
But I made it to the network level both times, and the network was the one that passed on me. They were filming this last weekend in South Carolina, the pilot. So if that had happened, I wouldn't have been anywhere. But
yep.
So anyways, I do all my prep. I do all my planning. I'm telling people on Facebook I'm heading down to Plant City for the barbecue competition. And so I jump in the truck and start off at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I get down to Plant City at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I pull into the cook site, and, you know, I'm thinking, I know I'm early, but there's nobody here, and I'm never the first one here. So I drive around, and there's some guys working on the electrical, setting up the electrical, and I said, hey, am I in the right place, or, you know, is there a barbecue competition here? And they said, oh, yeah, there's a barbecue competition, but it's next weekend. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And they're like, no, it's next weekend. And I just drove 11 hours. I'm like, so I get my paperwork out, and I look at it, and sure enough, I mean, it's like I had the wrong weekend. I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, I felt like the biggest fool on planet Earth. And called my wife. I said, you're not going to believe what I just did. The contest is next weekend. And she laughed, and she said, oh, just come on home. So I went and I fueled up, and I just started driving back. I mean, I get back on 4 or whatever and get on 75, and I'm heading back.
Yep.
And I put a post on Facebook, and I said to all my buddies, I said, hey, good news is I made it to Tampa. Bad news is cook-off's next weekend. So I'm heading back, and Andy Simpson and Matthew McAllister started working, and Andy texted me. He says, "Hey, there's a contest over in Lakeland," and so I literally pulled off the freeway and started looking on the KCBS website, and I got Donovan's phone number, and I called Donovan, and I said, "Donovan, hey, you got any spots left in your contest?" And he said, "No," and he said, "I had one, but I just filled it." I said, well, let me tell you what I just did. And so I told him, I just drove 11 hours from Ponchatoula, Louisiana to the wrong weekend. And Donovan, without hesitating, Donovan said, hey, man, come on over. I'll make a spot for you.
So,
yeah, so I drove over, and, you know, I got my spot, and a beautiful spot, and power and all that. Then I started looking at the list of who was there. And I see you, and I see True Bud, and IB30, and, you know, on and on and on. I'm thinking, like, oh, wow, I guess I'm just making lunch for next week, you know. then it just kind of played out the way it played out. And, I you know, look, if you don't believe in miracles, I mean, come on. You know, how could that happen without God intervening? You know what I mean? It's like,
oh, that's funny.
I go down the wrong weekend, and there's a contest 3 miles away, and I win it. Oh, it's unbelievable. So,
well, I remember telling you on Friday, I said, you know what? These are the kind of stories that GCs are made of, Jeff, and you're like, no, don't put that curse on me, you know, blah, blah, blah. But how? I mean, obviously, I love the venue, man. There's so much space out there. The power's solid. The water's solid.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Donovan and the whole Rotary team, they were by all the dang time to check on you.
Yeah.
You know, how did the cook overall go for you? You know, when you got done putting that brisket in the box and turned it in, how did you feel about your four categories?
Well, it's interesting, Chad, because I was telling some people about this. And, you know, a lot of us, you know, played sports, whatever. I played football in college. And there's something about competition that when things are going really well, everything seems to slow down, and that's the way this cook was for me. I mean, to the point that I noticed it. It was really kind of interesting, because it's like, you know, normally that crunch time is a one man team. You know, I compare it to 2 minute offense for an hour and a half. I mean, I'm flat running. You know,
yep.
You got chicken and, you know, and working ribs and pork and brisket all at the same time and just kind of jamming. This cook, it was like, it was almost, it wasn't like slow motion, but it was just like, whoa, it's just smooth, you know, it was just smooth. And I got to the spot and I put my chicken in the box and I said, and I didn't even fuss with it. I was like, hey, that's good, you know. And
yep.
same thing with pork and ribs and brisket, you know. It was just like, it was just really smooth and came together well, you know. And then the results, you know, kind of spoke for themselves. And it's interesting too, because my rib, I completely redid my rib process, a rub, sauce, the whole thing has been completely redone, and I've done 3 contests with it. I've taken a first, a ninth, and a fourth. So I think I might have, you know, kind of dialed into something that's working for me. So it was good.
Oh, that's,
it was really good.
No, that's great. You know, you go to awards. Chicken's kind of a no call.
Right.
You know, did that concern you at all? I mean, was it one of those where you thought chicken was your best category, and you're like, oh crap, what's coming? Or were you okay with that?
No, I was figuring like, well, there was a couple things I thought. I thought, well, okay, you know, I'll go home and that'll be that. You know, this will be a good story. But I said I think I was close. I thought I was closer than 18th. You know, I mean, I thought I was just outside 10 because my chicken's really, really a solid category for me. So and then of course you move on to ribs and came in at.
You came in at fourth. You were actually tied for third and lost a tiebreaker. And really at fourth, you were only a little more than half a point off first. So, you know, obviously a good damn rip.
Yeah. I'm going to stay with it. And it's my wife's. I call it my wife's rib because she's the one who said, this is it. You know, when I finally dial it in, she's like, yep, this is the rib. So, yeah, I'm liking it. So that was good. You know, I mean, it was a money call and you know, and a trophy, and it was like, oh, cool. You know, this could be good.
You're thinking about that drive back to Louisiana and then drive back down this weekend. So, yeah, those checks help, right? A little bit of gas money never hurts.
Oh, absolutely. You know,
and then pork, you go forth. You know, how's your pork been? Have you been cooking it pretty solid?
Pork's real solid. That's my highest in I think nationally in KCBS. I think I'm in the low 40s on that, and that's just been absolutely solid all year. So I'm always confident in pork. You know, it's just kind of, it's one of those categories for me. It's just kind of automatic, you know, that and brisket's getting to be that way too. I'm just kind of dialing in. It's just, you know, I'm not working and tweaking as much as I was obviously in the spring. Now it's just kind of, you know, it's just working and that, then it just depends on what tables I get on, you know, and how it ends up.
Yeah. So let's step back a little bit before we get to brisket. On the chicken, because you know one thing I always try to do for the listeners is always try to help them pick up some tips when I got guys on. On the chicken, are you kind of a bone and thigh guy, or do you step outside the box and mess with anything else?
No, it's strictly bone and thigh. You know, putting 6 in the box. One of the big things that helped me with chicken was that I did go to some of the, you know, organic Springer Mountain stuff. And I'll tell you, once I did that, and it's a plug for those guys, even though they aren't sponsoring me yet. I don't scrape skin at all. I don't scrape it. I trim them up. I get them uniform, but I leave all that fat on there, and it makes sense because if you think about it, you know, fat's flavor, fat's moisture. And if you're scraping all that off of there, you know, you're just really, you're missing that out in the cooking process. So, you know, when you have really good quality chicken, that bite through skin is going to happen. It's going to happen for you, but you got to have a good meat to start off with.
No, and I know my buddy Mike Richter sings those guys' praises, and I know a couple other guys out there on the circuit that use it. Yeah, I hear that Springer Mountain is top notch stuff. On the pork, on your ribs and your butts, are you using any kind of Duroc or Berkshire, or are you just whatever your local butcher's got?
Well, I'm buying from Restaurant Depot, and I'm just trying to pick out the most more, which is nice because I get to go through a whole lot, a whole bunch of packages, you know. And I'm just looking for that bulging money muscle, and I'm looking for good marbling, you know, on the face of it, you know, right outside the bone, and you know, I inevitably find a really good twin pack, you know, after searching through them. So, but no, I'm not doing Dorac or anything like that.
On your pork boxes, and I meant to ask Scott this earlier, you know, in FBA, you know, where we cook down here, it's an all-meat turn-in, no garnish. KCBS, I have found my pork scores are better when I've got, quote-unquote, three types of meat in the box compared
right.
to one or two. You know, I know a
right.
lot of guys, if they love their money muscle, you know, they'll slice it thick and they'll lay it across there and they'll call it done. But to
right.
me, I like to get some tubes in there. I like to get some chunks in there to show my smoke ring and this and that. What you know, you've cooked 62 contests, and obviously you've had probably a ton of different pork in, you know, presentation displays. Well, what's your thought on that, Jeff?
I think it's you know, personally, I'm putting in at least two, if not three, different versions. You know, money muscle, pull, and bark. I think, you know, a full box looks more appetizing.
Sure.
I think that just helps. And you know, I think if you cook it right, what you're demonstrating when you put more than one product in there, you're demonstrating to the judges that your level of cooking ability. You know what I'm saying? That's a statement to the judge when they open up that box. It's like, man, he's got money muscle. He's got bark. He's got pull. You know, he's showing us all the different things that he can do. So I think that kind of that definitely sets you apart. I start off with just putting pull in there and just kind of throwing a glob in there and whatnot. But the guy that really helped me there was Ron Walker from Motley Q Crew. He kind of took me under his wing, and he coached me up big time on pork, how to cook it and how to present it and how to do it. And like I said, it's been really strong for me all year. You know, all year.
Very cool. So then we move on to brisket. Are you a Wagyu guy, a prime guy, CAB guy, Restaurant Depot guy?
I'm CAB prime. Get it here locally. Have never cooked a Wagyu, but definitely, you know, and sold on prime. Just miles ahead on taste and the window that it gives. Is what I've learned, the window that it gives you on getting
yep.
it right. Is definitely bigger than a choice, you know, because
yep.
you can get a really good, you can do a really good job with choice, but man, don't, you know, you got to watch it like a hawk and don't blow it because you just don't have that window, a little under, a little over, and you're done.
That's what I always tell guys. I feel like prime gives you about a 3 to 5 degree window. You know,
yeah.
where you know, if you catch it right in there, you're going to be okay. But, man, that
right.
choice, it seems like it's about a 1 to 3 degree window. And yeah,
yeah,
like you said, a little bit under, a little bit over, and, you know, Katie bar the door, it's over.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but, yeah, that's, you know, and my brisket's been really coming on strong. Sharing with some of the guys out there, you know, I do not put in burn ends ever, and it's just a full box of slice. And my thoughts on that. And of course, everybody has their opinions and whatnot. I don't know how you feel about Chad, but I just think that burn ends can only hurt you and not help you. I think if you have if that judge is not going to pull your score up, if the slice is an 8. And you have a blow your mind burn ends, he's not going to take it to a 9. That's just what I thought, and that's
right.
what I thought. You know, I've talked to judges, and they've said the same thing. You know, but then again, if you have a 9 slice and your burn ends are 8, he's going to pull you down.
Yeah.
You know,
so
with that kind of logic, it's kind of like, and maybe I'm just kind of justifying it because I haven't found a good way to cook burn ends yet, so maybe that's what I'm doing. But that's just kind of how I feel. But I'm telling you what, my results haven't they haven't been hurt because I don't do it. So
So
there you go.
That being said, and then I'll kind of give you my take on it. That being said, do you just cook flats or do you still cook the whole brisket?
Oh, no, I cook the whole brisket. Absolutely.
Okay.
I do that because I think there's a flavor component, a protection component.
Yep.
I think flat sitting on top of the point with that injection or whatever you got in there, it's just kind of, you know, braising, so to speak, even when it's, you know, fat down, because that meat's just sucking up that flavor from underneath. And so I think it goes the whole way together, and then I separate it and slice.
Gotcha. So sure. At least tell me you do something with me. At least tell me you pull it and you make pork, you know, brisket chili or sandwiches or something.
You know what I've just fallen in love with is pulled brisket. You know, taking that point and then
yep.
you know, cutting the, and then just pulling those strands. Oh
yeah.
Man. Oh, that's
yeah.
money. That is just
they've just been sitting in that fat the whole time
yeah.
you cooked it, and they got all that flavor. Yeah, man, there's nothing, that's the best pulled brisket in the world, is right off the point, man. It is
yeah.
it is to die for, man. It is dang dang good. So my thoughts on it, the way I look at it, Jeff, is I always, and here's one thing that I do a little bit different, but I know other cooks do it too, is I separate the point and flat pre-cooked. So,
and I
cook in a large pan. So I'll put the flat on one side of the pan, I'll put the point on the other side of the pan, and I'll always put the point, my back left corner in my cooker is my hottest part. And so I always slide my pan in with my point in the back, and my flat up front. So that way I'm going to protect my flat, but I'm going to cook my brisket about 10, 15 degrees ahead of my flat. And for us, it works out, but we always make a decision, and that we've won brisket with just slices, and we won brisket with both. But if that burn-in does not improve our box, we save it for snacks.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just a decision. You have to be honest with yourself as a cook, and say, am I helping myself or am I hurting myself? And if you're hurting yourself, you got to get them out of there, man.
Yeah, I hear you.
So, you know, you take a fourth in brisket, you know, you're fourth or fifth. It was right there. May have been fourth
fifth,
again.
Fifth in brisket,
I feel like,
yeah.
Fifth. I was about to say, I feel like I gave you one too many fourths.
Yeah.
You know, so obviously that happens. You got to be excited. You got to think, you know, after you've heard all the other names, I don't believe anybody had four calls. So you got to know you're right there in the hunt. They start ticking down that top five. Are you getting excited, man?
Oh, man. I'm thinking to myself, I mean, they started counting it down, and I'm running in my mind who got calls, who was what. Of course, I'm thinking True Bud, thinking IAB30, you know, and I'm like, man, you know, and I actually thought it was IAB30 who was going to get it, after they called True Bud, but I knew I was going to be in, you know, because I had those three good calls, solid calls. I figured, man, I'll be in the top five. And so when they didn't call my name, and they got to three, and they didn't call my name, and two, and then I was like, oh man, it's got to be me. Man, I'll tell you, man, you know, that is a thrill. That is a thrill. You know, and I'll tell you why. It's because when you're cooking with guys like you, and like I said, all the guys that are out there, and you know that these are quality barbecue professionals, and you know you come in. I mean, even the top five, top ten finish in that crowd is a great accomplishment.
Absolutely.
And, you know, but to come in on top. Well, that was just a miracle. You know, that was just like. Wow, that is incredible. But let me tell you what happens on the rest of the story, which is because it continues. Well, I'm driving home, and I get, you know, I got some sleep and got up around 1 o'clock in the morning, and I took off. Well, I get to just outside Mobile, Alabama, and my truck starts acting up. And I pull off at Locksley, Alabama, and then it's really acting up as I get down to the deal, and all of a sudden I hear stuff in the engine. I'm like, what's going on? And I pulled into the Love's truck stop, opened up the hood, and blew my head gasket, blew the engine, the oil cooler, and well, all told, it's a little over $4,000 bill, you know, to fix it. So I, it was like, well, there you go, money in, money out, you know. And,
wow.
Yeah. Why didn't you make it home? My wife had to come from Ponchatoula, come over. We picked up the trailer, and a buddy of mine, barbecue buddy Bobby Langford of Holland Bus, he has an international dealership. We came and had the truck towed over to his place. We're selling the truck, just basically scrapping it out. And so I'm on foot now. And actually, that's why I'm not going to be in Plant City this weekend, because I don't have a truck to pull my trailer. So, you know, but it'll all work out. Look, it always does. It'll all work out, and you know, I'll be in Demopolis. That'll be my next one up in Alabama. So,
awesome, brother. Well, man,
yeah.
it was awesome to see you take that walk on Saturday, man. I hate that the ride home went like that, but you know, you sat there and laughed about it and said it all works out, and you're exactly right. And, Jeff, I appreciate you taking the time tonight to come on the show. Is there anybody you want to thank or anything you want to say before we wrap her up?
Well, you know, look, we talked about the religion aspect of it. I really want to thank Jesus for allowing me to do this, and, you know, because it is ministry for me, too, as well as having a good time and out there barbecuing. Thank my wife for all her support and love and encouragement, regardless of coming in top, middle, or bottom. She's always there and excited, you know, for how I finish. And I just want to thank all you guys out there, you know, on the barbecue trail, that because you make this hobby, you make this ministry of mine, you make this lifestyle something that I enjoy 24/7, 365. So thanks, Chad. I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Absolutely, Jeff. And hopefully you need to look at Pigfest at the end of January down here in Lakeland, man. We'd love to have you back.
I sent in my application, paid my money this morning.
Awesome, man. Well, hit me up and message me. I live 10 minutes from there. If you come down a day early or something, maybe I'll cook you a ribeye here at the house or something, man. Just get together and hang out.
I'd love it, Chad. I'd love it. Thanks for inviting me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, Jeff. Take care and good luck in Demopolis, buddy.
Thanks, man.
Yes, sir. All right, guys. Jeff from Give It to God. Your GC this weekend at When Pigs Fly South. We're running a couple minutes late, so I'm going to dive right in, man. I see the cowboy. It makes me smile, man. I know I'm about to talk to my good buddy, Kent Rollins.
What's going on, brother?
Man, it's been too long.
I ain't got a clue. Only thing it is just hard work and short nights and long days, you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean, and I didn't tell the listeners, but I've kind of intentionally not talked to you since the show, because I kind of just wanted to do it live here on the air, and you know, it seems like that always makes some of the best interviews. But man, you've been busy, buddy. I'll tell you what.
Well, the little sweet woman, she aimed for us to be busy, and we have. We did 7 weeks straight up at Silver Dollar City to Branson, and I think she probably made 1,100, 1,200 sourdough biscuits every day, and then we'd do some kind of dessert usually every day, and just do a little Dutch oven clinics and show people how to cook it and then pass it out. It's sort of like handing out free money. If you don't get in line fast enough, somebody will run over you to get the rest of it.
So really that's kind of what you're doing there, is you're kind of doing, you know, out there at Silver Dollar, because I know you always do a pretty good chunk of time out there, so... So pretty much the Silver Dollars hires you and it has you just kind of teach folks how to cook bread and desserts in Dutch ovens?
Well, it's a salute to the Great American Cowboy. It's a festival that runs 7 weeks. And when you see the contract, it says you have 3 20-minute sessions a day. Well, that 3 20-minute sessions a day for us starts about 8 o'clock every morning, ends up about 5. By the time you start a fire and get things going and pour about 11 pots full of coffee and talk to 17,000 people, it makes for a really long day, but a very enjoyable time. Always good people up there. I guess we'll go back next year.
Well, and it always looks like, you know, I'm just kind of watching from afar from your pictures, and I swear next year if y'all are going back, I'm going to go. I got a customer that's about 30 minutes outside of there, and I'm just going to have to schedule to go see them. while you're there, and I'm about to come check this thing out. But it looks like, I mean, is there a couple other cowboy cooks there with you? Are those guys that are teaching other parts of the cowboy way?
There's one guy there that does what they call the Mustang makeover. He takes wild Mustangs that have come off out there in the great Northwest or the western half of the United States somewhere, and then he shows you how that you can train them and make a good horse out of them, and then they bid on them throughout the 7 weeks, and whoever comes up with the high bid takes them, and then the rest of them are either cowboy poets or humorists or singers that are hanging around, but they always seem to stay pretty close to me and Shannon because there's always a lot of food.
Well, yeah, they go stay around the food, and I'm going to tell you what, I hope you're not thinking about trading places with the Mustang tamer there, man. That don't sound like no fun at all.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, it ain't near as hot. When we got up there and went to cooking there the first part of September, it was sort of like Florida weather. There was a lot of humidity for me and Shannon. We didn't really know what was going on, but the Mustang man, he ain't never standing right over that fire. And when you stand by that fire 8 hours a day, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's one thing that people, if you've never went, you got to go to Kent's Facebook page and take a look at that oven. I forget her name, Kent. Remind me. I know you got a sweet little name for her.
It's old Bertha.
Bertha, yep. And that boys in the barbecue world, we would say that's a big ass firebox. I'm sure it's
hot.
Burned many a cord of wood, and I bet you get that thing just a pumping, don't you?
Yeah, I've had it, Chad, for 23 years, and if I had a dollar for every stick of firewood that had been thrown in there, me and you and Shannon and your little sweet wife could go to Europe and spend about 11 years.
I heard that, my man. I heard that. So you've done the Silver Dollar thing. You know, you obviously did your thing out in New Mexico on the ranch earlier in the year. Have you had any caterings or anything like that kind of since Silver Dollar? I know you've been working a lot on the house, too.
Yeah, we've been ever since my mother passed away back in February, we moved here in March and sort of got a couple of rooms done and then was gone for about 10 weeks on the road, I guess. And most of July we took off because we'd signed a cookbook deal with Houghton Mifflin up there in New York.
Yep.
So we had to recook a bunch of recipes and then come up with about 20 new ones. And when you sit inside the kitchen and cook all day, to me that's harder than building fence. But we got that part of it done. We still got to do a little writing and get some stuff back to them to get it edited. But we look forward to it. We hope it's out maybe sometime late this next fall. But been doing some caterings, had some deals, got some coming up. We donated part of our services to the Good Hollis High School football team. They're in the playoffs, so we told them as long as they'd win, we'd feed them on Thursday nights before the game. So we're still cooking for them this week anyway.
That's very cool. And I got to tell you, man, I forgot all about the cookbook deal. Man, I'm excited about that. I can only imagine. You know, I've got your cookbook that you did the paperback one, and man,
yeah.
I love it to death. And I've stole many a recipe out of there. But I cannot wait. You know, we did talk briefly about this in another conversation, but for what you're telling me, the vision on this cookbook, man, it's gonna be all around badass, brother.
Yeah, it's something me and Shannon's been after for a long time, and it's be hardback. Have a lot of ranch pictures in there, a lot of stories, but a lot of recipes too. And we sit around doing that this summer and come up with quite a few new things. And I've always had people ask me, Chad, hey, I really like your steak, but I ain't got no mesquite. So we made a mesquite seasoning. This time it's a mesquite ancho. We finished it up sometime last part of August before we started selling it. But you can cook a steak out there on a gas grill and season it with that, and you'll think you cooked it right over a mesquite fire.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty good eating.
So, you know, I got to ask you this, and shame on me. You know, we've opened the barbecue store down here. We've been open since September. Do I need to get with Shannon on getting me a little bit of wholesale pricing to start pumping that rub down here?
I'll get her to send you some stuff, or you can email her. Y'all are getting above my head when you're going talking wholesale, resale. It's all I can do is just stay afloat.
No, you just – so, yeah, because, dude, you know I love the original rub, man. You sent me a couple bottles, and I was putting that stuff on – I was putting that stuff on everything, eggs, the whole nine yards. So I got to try this mesquite seasoning. So
it's pretty,
you don't worry about it. I'll email Shannon. We'll get it worked out. We got to get that on the shelves down here at the store, man, because I'd love to do that.
We'd be honored. We would.
Excellent, man. So, and the other thing, guys, is y'all can go out there to Kent's website, kentrollins.com. You can pick some up for yourself. You can also, I'm going to tell you, he's got his cookbook out there. You know, it is, if you're messing around with Dutch oven cooking, or even if you're not Dutch oven cooking, there's some recipes in there that translate great to the grill, to the oven, whatever the case may be. Go click on store and check it out, because it is and you got another one. Have you always had that guide to cast iron, bro?
No, we put it out this summer, but it's got some recipes in it and a few new recipes, but we always had so many people want to know, you know, have you got some kind of book that we can learn a little more about cast iron? So we put the book together, but also put a DVD with it that shows you just what we're talking about. And people that have bought it have really liked it. We sold, I ain't going to tell them how many when we was up there at Silver Dollar City, but it makes it a little easier to look at, because I tell people anybody can cook in a Dutch oven. If this rocket science worked, I never would have made it.
I agree. And then I'm looking on the store, too. That's live in Branson. Is that a CD? Is that you doing a little storytelling?
Yeah, that's a storytelling CD. But it's got some of the mishaps and the misfortunes of growing up cowboy and ranch with the older brothers. And because the older brother just waits any time in his life to kill a younger brother off if he gets a chance.
Guys, I'm going to tell y'all, if this is your first Kent Rollins interview on the show, I'm sure you're delighted. It's a treat. But you know, I've had a chance to have some pretty long conversations with Kent. We spent a lot of time together, and there ain't a better storyteller than I know. So I'm going to tell you right now, for $8 plus shipping, a CD of you telling cowboy stories, shit, I got to get one, man. That's a done deal. Because there's an art to telling a story, and, buddy, you got it down pat.
Well, Shannon told me for years and years, she said, you know, you ought to write some of that stuff down before you forget it. Well, I started writing it down, a long time ago. But some of the stories and stuff the old men always shared with me on ranches, and they said, you know, all stories that start out funny cause pain, and just other people laughed at it. And a lot of that's true. There's a lot of rough times on an old ranch, and especially if you're on a wagon for 5 or 6, 7 weeks, and you have to laugh at it to get through it at times.
Well, let's talk about it. Let's go ahead and let it rear its head. First off, it's awesome to get called back to be on CHOP that second time. I think we all saw it coming. I mean, the judges loved you, the casting loved you. But to kind of go and cook in the kitchen, you know, I know for you there was a lot of pride in that, because you wanted to go show, you know, hey, this old cowboy, you know, you can put me in the middle of New York City in this fancy kitchen, and I'm going to show you good food's good food. You know, am I kind of accurate in that statement?
Yes, sir, you are. You know, when they first called us back in first part of January last year, or December, whenever it was, and said, hey, we'd like to do a redemption episode in the kitchen up here, well, I first told them, I said, well, I'm going to have to think about that. And me and Shannon talked about it for a while, and you know, I said, well, I really ain't got nothing to prove, but I would like to show the people that I don't make, you know, no difference where you cook. I can cook anywhere. I prefer cooking outside, but my mother taught me in the kitchen. But at least when my mother taught me, Chad, I could spell what we was eating.
Yep.
A lot of them groceries they drug out up there, I couldn't even begin to tell you where they come from or what they was.
Oh, so we'll just start with the appetizer round. Vegan lobster. That shit should be illegal, Kent. I mean, a vegan lobster? I mean, come on.
Well, I didn't, you know me, Chad, I've been growing up on beans and meat and taters. And when Ted called that out, he said, we have vegan lobster, and I'm thinking, is that a brand name of lobster? What kind of lobster is that? You know?
Yeah, sure.
It looked like some kind of rubber lobster that somebody might have forgot at Christmas 25, 30 years ago. And I took a little old bite of it. It don't have a taste. I remember asking Ted, they didn't air it, but I said, Ted, why in the world would somebody buy this? And I said, then why would you want to cook it and eat it?
Ted Allen is a fan of yours, man. That guy, he's a good dude. Yeah.
He is. You know, they had that winter melon. I'd never seen a winter melon. I've seen a watermelon and a cantaloupe and a pie melon, but I'd never seen no winter melon and really didn't know what to do with it, you know, for sure, and tasted of it. And I'm thinking, hey, all else fails, you can always make a slaw or a salad out of some of them things you don't know what is.
Yeah.
But the chop suey in a can, you know, I've eaten some bad stuff out of a can in my life, Chad, I have, but that was probably some of the nastiest stuff I ever seen in my born days.
Well, I was sitting there and I was looking at it and I said, well, the one thing on the first episode when me and Kent were together that we talked about behind the scenes was, if we don't know what it is, we got to taste it.
Yeah.
And I sat there and I started watching your episode. I was like, boy, he's had to taste a lot of not good stuff. that's no fun.
It was bad. It was. You know, I didn't really know what to do with the lobster. I figured it's sort of like maybe some of that tofu, that other nasty ingredient.
Yeah.
And whatever you cook with it, maybe it'll absorb it and soak it up. So I made sure it had a lot of garlic and butter and a little onion to it. And but I don't care if I ever see another vegan lobster. It's like I told Ted up there. I said, you know how many sardines we got in the mail and somebody bring by the chuck wagon from last time? I sure hope they don't start sending vegan lobsters now.
Well, sardines are a hell of a lot cheaper than vegan lobsters. So
yeah.
Now what you may get is you may, and I don't want to skip ahead, we'll get to it, but you may get a lot of Band-Aids, Ken.
Yeah.
That may be the only thing coming.
We've got a lot of offers on Band-Aids, you know, and you know, when we, that cut was from the second round when we started the main course deal there. And
before we get into that, so kind of let's back up and let's talk real quick about the appetizer that you plated and you turned in. Give the listeners a kind of a quick overview of that and kind of, you know, what you did flavor wise and what you did with the components. And how you felt about it, you know, when time was up?
Well, you know, after you've done it once, the time deal didn't bother me as bad as the unknown. So I just cut the vegan lobster up in little pieces, what Mark said was a little big, and just cooked it in there with some garlic and butter and onion, and it was just going to put it out there. On some, I think they called it Napa cabbage. I just only thing I could find an ice box that looked green and looked safe. And the chop suey, I mixed with quite a bit of cayenne and some chipotle and a little smoked paprika just to try to give it enough kick that we could get rid of that nasty taste, because I did rinse it. When you just pop the top on the can and look at that stuff and smell of it, I mean, it's worse than 40-year-old dog food been sitting out in the sun. And so I rinsed it and wanted to cook it down and try to get rid of some of the moisture because the, whew, I don't know what chop suey is, Chad, but I ain't going to grill none of it.
I just took
the winter melon and mixed it with the cabbage and then a little green apple and made a little dressing there, and when it come time and I looked at it, I thought, you know, I ain't got a clue. It's just like always. You know, it was Mark and Arone I hadn't seen before, but I told Shannon after I found out when I got there, I said, the one that scared me most of all was Alex.
Oh, yeah.
Because she is a food scientist, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really figured the first round I was gone, you know, and so I was sort of shocked in the least to say it, and that guy beside me was probably shocked worse than I was.
That guy was an ass. Frank?
Yeah.
What a jerk. I did not appreciate the shot he took at you on the way out. I was watching that in my hotel room in Vegas, and I wanted to reach through that camera and put a good old boy beat down on him, man. What a sore ass loser, you know?
Yeah. I've done listening to him for about 2 hours before we got that round, and you know, I'm gonna treat people the same all the time. Don't make me no difference. That's the way I was raised, and I'm not gonna say nothing bad about him. But when he looked over after he'd been chopped, and he said, "You got to be kidding me," and I said, "Guess not, brother." And I said, "I guess they know what they're doing." And, it was a shock. I mean, I really didn't know what was going on there for a little while, especially with the lobster and the winter melon combined. But I think the chop suey was probably the worst thing to me in the first round.
Gotcha. So then we move on to the second. You know, we're dealing with the main course. And tell the listeners about what you got there, what you got dealt to you, and kind of what your plan of action was, my friend.
First thing Ted called out of that basket was a parrotfish. I had never seen one, but I told Shannon, I said, "Man, that thing's pretty enough. You don't want to eat it. You want to mount it on the wall and just look at it." It had scales on it, big around. It was a 50-cent piece. They put a little tailor in that basket. But you couldn't spell it to save your life. I was wanting to keep the skin for the moisture, but I finally just filleted him off her. And wanted to just get out. Didn't really find enough cornmeal to suit me to making what I was going to make a batter out of, so I just used some breadcrumbs and some chipotle again and some cayenne, a little salt and pepper, and flired him up that way and cooked him sort of slow. And then I just throwed him up there on the grill to let him finish. And we had some, I think they called them scouty squash. I sure hadn't seen them, but when we pulled them out of the basket, I was thinking, I'm going to make me some squash mashed potatoes and just boil them down and then mash them good and put a little sour cream butter with them. And, you know, they got hot water boiling there all the time.
But yep.
I throw them things in there, Chad, and they boil. I let them go for about, maybe 14, 15 minutes, and they still ain't soft. So when I took that fish out of there and put him on the grill, I just chunked them squash back in there and chopped them a little more and let them cook down like that. We had some sour grapes, or pickled sour grapes, which were, bitter. And then they have this garlic paste. I can't remember what they called it. Probably couldn't spell it if I did. But I mixed it with the garlic paste and then changed it a little, made a dipping sauce, like a tartar sauce, put a little, chopped a little relish and put in there with it just to give it a little something for the fish. And I'd cooked the fish down a little, what was left of the head and some of that, just to get enough stock. And when I went to plate it, I got me one of them old deep plates what had a little well in it where I could put a little of that broth right down there in the bottom.
Yep.
And old Mark Murphy said, "Hey, it's a pretty good deal, this fish stock. I guess you don't have a lot of fish stock out there where you're at." And I said, "No, we have a lot of livestock, but not fish stock." But it was all right. You know, I felt better the second round than I sure did the first, and so it wasn't too bad.
Well, you know, and to me, that's the only thing I thought when I saw the basket open, because I'm sitting there, man, and I'm sweating this thing. You saw me; I was on Twitter making my comments, but I'm like the only thing I was like, man, you know, give him a protein, you know, give him a pork or something. And when I saw fish, I'm like, this old boy's from Hollis, Oklahoma. I just didn't know how much fish you had cooked. I mean, I figured you had cooked some, but, I mean, obviously not nearly as much as you had a beef or a pork or anything like that, I would think.
Yeah, we used to do a lot of fishing in some of them old stock ponds around here and eat a lot of bass and crappie, mudcat, catfish, anything you could throw in and catch something with a wet hook. But I like fried fish. I like grilled fish.
Yep.
You know, but I never did really taste that perfect fish, but he looked really white and flaky like he was a good fish. You know,
yep.
I told Shannon I was really wishing I took a little bite and just see what's happening.
what it tasted like, huh? So
yeah.
So yeah, so we turned that one in. You know, it's down to I liked your buddy. I know you made friends with him. The old boy with the mohawk, Jeff.
Yeah.
Is that his name?
Jeff Ean. Yeah. He cooks for he's an executive chef over I think it's in Baltimore. But Jeff is good people. He's got a heart that's like mine and yours. It's bigger than anything else. He's got a great smile. And,
yep, he does.
It was good. You know, when you get in them little rooms, and a lot of times you've got more time in the interviews and sitting there in that room doing nothing than you do anything else. Well,
sure.
Me and Jeff become good friends, you know. And I told him, I said, win or lose, brother. I said, I done won the best thing in the world. I won your friendship. And, but he according to Mark and them, he just overloaded that garlic there just too heavy. He didn't reduce it down any or weaken it
right.
to any point. And because it was some of that stout, I know that.
Yeah. And so then we move on, man. We make it through dessert round. And
yeah.
at this point in time, as your friend, I feel very confident because I said, dude, you can put whatever you want in that basket, and Kent Rollins can make a damn good cobbler or anything else out of it. You know, I because I know you've baked a ton of desserts. So now
yeah.
I'm feeling like we got through appetizer with all that chop suey, vegan lobster. I mean, I'm feeling stoked going into dessert. I'm like, look, unless this chick's a badass pastry chef, I think Kent's got it. And kind of let's talk through the basket and what you put out there on the plate.
Well, it was a shock to see Jeff go home. I really thought she might before Jeff did. And so we get back in there and come out for the dessert round, and we break out the papaya. And then Ted called for this bubble tea, and I had to wait and see what she pulled out because I ain't never seen none of that even pull it out of this cup. Had a straw about the size of a water hose sticking in it. And then chocolate. Covered frozen fake bananas and then some coconut butter. I took a little sip of the bubble tea and I looked over at Ted and I said, not on my worst day would I ever serve this to people. And it's like a tea, but it's got big hunks of tapioca in it and like a seed. So I just thought, well, I'm gonna melt chocolate off these bananas to put them in a double boiler where I can use that, and I'm gonna mash it all together. And I kicked my butt for a long time for not making bread pudding out there when we was in the desert. You know,
yep.
You get to wondering how much
yep.
time do you have? Can you get it done? And I'm thinking, hey, you've been here before. You're the only one in this group that's actually won chocolate and never did get nothing for it. So I'm gonna go all out. I'm gonna go make bread pudding. So I combined the mango there, and then the papaya, and the frozen chocolate-covered bananas. Went over
now,
and got
you,
me some.
Did you get any chipotle in there? Because I know that's got to be your favorite spice, Kent. I think out of all the meals you've ever cooked on Chop, chipotle has to be in 85% of them.
I do love a chipotle, that or ancho. You know, but I did get some smoked paprika in there, you know,
okay.
the last. But we went ahead and grabbed me a loaf of bread over there, and she'd got all the eggs and all the milk and all the sugar. And, I mean, there wasn't none left. She had 3 dozen eggs sitting over on the table.
Good Lord.
And I'm thinking, you know, maybe she's allowing that we ain't going to share. So I finally just told her, hey, ma'am, I'm going to borrow some of them eggs one way or another. And got some, and then I knew that when I cut myself in the second round, well, a little cut, you know how fast your heart's pumping on them kind of
oh,
things.
Yeah.
So I didn't, after it sort of dried up and went away after the second round, I wasn't thinking no more about it. Took the Band-Aid off, throwed it away. And I don't even know what I nicked it on in the dessert round, but I looked down there and seen a little blood, you know, and I'm thinking, hey, ain't no big deal. Wash it off, change plates. We're going to go with it and put it in a little muffin pan and cook it. And I'm looking over at what she's doing, and I hear her telling herself, this is baked Alaska. And I'm thinking,
I ain't never seen baked Alaska but one time, and it was more like an ice cream than it was anything else,
yeah.
Like an ice cream cake, you know. And,
it looked like hell.
Yeah, and they chastised her for it really bad.
Yes.
Know? And you know how it is when you're shooting, you present your dish, and then you go in the little room while they deliberated. Well, we presented, and then we went in the little room and deliberated. We come back out. And they said, well, we're going to have to go through this again. Something has come up. So they sent us back over there to that room, and that's when I knew that something was not right in the world. And I argued with them for a while about, because I really think that the muffins and stuff all went in after I'd been cleaned up. But I respect the judge's decisions. I stood up for what I believed in, and me and that old gal didn't get along real well, but she was probably one of the rudest people ever been around in my life. Chad, she was.
Wow.
But
really?
That makes it even worse. Yeah. Yeah, she's one of them things. But
worse than Jeff?
Worse than who?
Worse than Jeff, the guy that went out in the first round?
Oh, I don't know if she was as cocky, but she was really arrogant. She about every third word out of her mouth was a cuss word most of the time. She come in there and she told me, she said, you know, I guess when they found out that there was blood and we went back in there while they deliberated again, she said, I guess where you come from, it don't make no difference if your food is bad or if it's dirty or if it's got blood in it. I looked at her there for a minute and told that old boy running the camera, I said, excuse me, brother, but you need to turn that off. Me and her shouldn't have to come to Jesus meetings.
You ain't going to talk about our people like that, Kent. Come on now.
I sort of gave her a little pep talk there and told her, I said, on your best day, ma'am, you couldn't keep up with what I'm doing out there. And I said, food is food, and that's all I can tell you. But it was hard for it to happen again that way because I give them all I had one more time, Chad, and come up a little short. It's like I told Rachel in one of them interviews. They didn't use it, but I said a slice of a knife and a sardine cost me $60,000.
Yep, I know, man. And I'll tell you what, dude. I'm in Vegas, Kent, and I was so heartbroken after that, I just stayed in the room.
Yeah.
I was just like, you know what, man? This sucks. It took all the wind out of my sails, man, because I'm honest with you. When we got to dessert, I said, man, this guy's cooked 100 desserts in you know, 10-degree weather, 120-degree weather. I said, I feel so confident in this one. And when I saw you go to the bread pudding, I said, oh, my gosh, this is a staple. And I'll tell you, Kent, I think in all three shows you've been on Chop, it may have been your best-looking plate. I tasted a little,
which it's like I told her. I said, I'll stake my reputation on my meat and my desserts every day, and because I'd made a whiskey blueberry cream sauce and used the coconut butter in it, and I could have drank that stuff for breakfast every morning.
Yeah,
but that's
well,
not
brother,
what happens.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, I hated it for you, but the good thing about it is I bet another million Americans fell in love with Kent Rollins because one thing I've always said about you is this is a genuine guy, and like you said earlier, you don't talk bad about anybody. And the thing I love about it is, man, your cooking expresses who you are. Just because you're in New York and you're going against all these executive chefs, you don't change a damn thing, man. You cook with what you're comfortable with, and you put Kent Rollins on a plate. And there just ain't nothing better than that, buddy. I mean, I love you to death, man. I was heartbroken, my man.
Well, it was just like before. Maybe this time was a maybe bigger response from people. And you know how it is, Chad. We get so many people that called and emails and letters that it's better than $10,000 when you sit down and look at it. Money don't buy you your friends, and it's one of them deals I've always told Shannon, we'll always have more friends than we got money.
Yep. And you know what? At the end of the day, when the shit really hits the fan, friends will outweigh money every time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had a little old gal send us a letter the other day from out there in California. She's about 9. And she said she was heartbroken that I got beat on top. She cried, and she would like to help. So she sent $5 to go with it. She said, maybe this will help you on your chuck wagon. And
wow.
I told Shannon, I said, that's $5 we'll never spend. We'll frame it. But
absolutely, right there next to that letter.
Yeah, so many emails, Chad, from people that, you know, sure, they admire what you cook, but they admire what I stand for more than probably the food. You know,
absolutely.
And
absolutely,
that's the best
man.
Part of it, too. You know.
Well,
but
I know.
Somebody asked me, would I do it again? And I said, oh, probably not this year anyway.
Well, hey, I know it's been a tough year on you, buddy. I know you and your mom are close, and you lost her in February, and, you know, this didn't help at all. But, man, I couldn't be prouder of you, buddy. You keep going out there. You keep putting that Kent Rollins name out there, and people love it. And you couldn't do it without Shannon, man. She is a
no.
You've got your peach there, buddy.
Well, three days before we flew up there in January to do that, it dislocated a shoulder. And I can pop it back in, but it sure does hurt. And that thing was sure enough killing it the whole day up there. And the little woman stayed up most all night that night trying to rub that thing down to where I could use it. But, I married way above my head, and I'm sure proud of it. She is the inspiration that still gives me the desire to want to cook and be who I am every day.
Well, that's enough said right there, brother. I could do this another 20 minutes, but I got a pretty cool Canadian chick waiting on me, Kent. So I got to cut this down, but, man, I'd love to – if you're looking okay in December, man, I'd love to get you on another week or two from now and just chat a little bit more, because there's a lot of stones we ain't turned over. And hell, I think me and you one night, we may just try to carry a two-hour show together. And I think we'd blow that listenership through the roof. But, man,
well,
it's
you
always
just call her, my friend.
No,
it's been an honor, Chad.
Dude, it always is, Kent. Honor's all mine. And and we'll talk again real soon, buddy. You take care.
All right, brother. Take care. Give your little sweet wife a hug for me.
I will, buddy. Thank you.
Yep.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye. All right, guys. Kent Rollins. Man, I just love talking to that dude. I just love who he is. And I'll tell you what, guys, that's a conversation. I mean, me and Kent usually talk on the phone once, twice a month. And that's him, man. He's salt of the earth. He's one of the best fellas around. And I just love having him on the show. So hated that he lost shop. It did kill me. I was pretty upset about it. But let me go ahead and go over to my sister from another mister, Danielle Demoski. D, what's up,
dude,
girl?
Dude.
Not much.
I go from Hollis, Oklahoma Dutch oven cook to Canadian barbecue goddess like that. 15 seconds.
I don't know so much about the goddess part, but barbecue chick is good. It's
dude,
all good.
How's it been going? It looks like you're cooking some pretty kick-ass stuff there up north. You're getting ready for this holiday season.
You know what? It's one of those things where I don't relax very well. And I think anybody who knows me knows that. I don't relax very well. And so, you know, I got home and I literally, after filming season 2, it was 9 weeks basically on the road. And literally at that point, you know, it's 9 weeks of very, very long days. And I basically wanted to just sleep. And that's pretty much all I did. I didn't move off the couch very much other than to take the kids to school. And now I'm in I've had my week of sleep and catching up. And now it's time to, you know, put my house back in order because, you know, as you know, I have a husband and 3 children at home. And the house tends to – the walls were still up, which is good. but, you know – things need to be fixed around the house.
It probably didn't get your housekeeping seal of approval, did it?
No, it did not. And so we're just in the process of, you know, reworking the trophy room and, you know, getting some other things in order. While I was away, my husband rode off our van. Then 4 days later, he smashed into a Porsche. And he was sober the entire time, for the record. But
damn,
it was just,
flat.
You know, some random stuff that just kept happening. So we're really kind of just getting caught up to life. And that's where I am right now. You know, I'm about tomorrow, or no, let's see, today's Tuesday. So on Thursday, we shoot some webisodes for the TV show this year. You know, Travel and Escape likes to have those.
Sure.
You know, likes to have those webisodes coming up, so we'll be filming those on Thursday. Then the following week, we go right into what people don't realize is that once the shooting is done, all the filming is done, you then have to do all the voice work. And the voice work goes on, it's about, you know, anywhere from 1 to 3 hours every couple episodes. So, you know, all that has to be done as well before it hits the airwaves for season two. So it's that stuff's still ongoing. And then, of course, you know, we are always looking forward to hopefully a season three, you know, and it's one of those things that we're really hopeful for. The viewership was fantastic for season one, and we hope it just keeps getting better.
Dude, it was, yeah. No, and that was, yeah, I hope you have a season three, too. because that was a, you know, without going into too much details, what an awesome experience, what a fun experience, you know, being able to come out to Louisiana with you. And just, I think the thing a lot of people won't see or don't know is your crew, oh, my gosh, Emily and all the folks, what great people, man.
Yeah, you know, people don't understand how much work goes into a
no,
half-hour program.
Yes.
They have, you know, they see, you know, I love those comments that say, oh, Danielle, it must be nice. All you do is just get to eat food all day. And as you know, and I think Randy's online too,
yep.
You guys have been around. It's not just like that. It's, you know, the competition weekends are a lot easier to do. But it is, you know, these are 12, 14-hour days. Of filming, all for 1 half-hour episode, which is not even half an hour. It's usually 24 minutes. So it's a very labor-intensive process. There's, you know, there's multiples of, there's the producers, there's three of those, there's two camera guys, one sound guy. There are two full-time editors. There is so much back support staff that are back at the office. So people don't understand that it's not just you. You don't just go out and eat and film it and that's it. It's a lot more complicated than that.
Exactly. Absolutely. So how many miles did you cover this year doing the crawl?
I think we did 18,000. I'm not positive. It's either between 16 or 18,000.
Wow.
And people need to realize that I actually I drive them all, as you know. I actually drive them all. Like the only time that we are actually on planes is when we start the show, we fly into the first location, and when we end the show, I fly out. But other than that, wherever we are, from Texas to Florida to Georgia to Oklahoma to South Carolina, North Carolina, Kentucky, you know, wherever we might be, I'm driving. And that's actually, you know, me driving down the road. It's a real road trip.
Yeah, exactly. But I gotta say, you know, as much as it, Randy had a good comment. Danielle drives 10,000 miles and hasn't killed any Porsches. Vlad? Question mark. That's pretty funny. But you know, it's one of those things too. Yes, as much work as it is, it can't feel like a job though. I mean, you got to be out there and you're. You know, yeah, there's challenges every day, but gosh, you got to feel like you're living the dream, right?
Well, you know, the thing is that it's what's that saying? Is that you find what you're passionate about, find what you truly love to do in life, and then find somebody to pay you to do it.
Yep. No, you're
exactly
right.
You know, and we didn't get the show overnight. You know, this show was many years in the making. I'm one of the co-creators of the show. Emily, myself, and Kit Redmond went to bat on this a few times. It was not an easy go right from the get-go. I mean, I always like to say that I consider myself to be the luckiest woman in barbecue. I may not be the winningest woman in barbecue, but I'm damn lucky. You know, I'm a fat chick living in the suburbs of Barrie, Ontario, Canada, and I have a TV show on a national U.S. network and two Canadian networks. I mean, seriously, that's pretty freaking awesome. And I'm excited about that because the real star of the show isn't me. It's barbecue and all the great people that are in barbecue.
No, I agree. You know, and you know what? Besides that barbecue show that was on the Food Network, God bless any barbecue on TV because it only helps us all.
Exactly.
You know, and I think it's always been cool that your, you know, your motif has been to, hey, let me, you know, we had a great time. I can't wait to see what you and the Southern Crunk Boys episodes look like. Freaking, you brought in Kiefer from up in the Northeast. Good Lord. I don't know how he behaved down here in the Southeast, but I can't wait to see that. You know, I mean, that's the cool thing is you've also kind of shared the wealth. And I feel like that's kind of adding to the depth of the show, you know, because you're keeping fresh faces in and out. You know what I'm saying? I think it's very, very
cool.
Well,
I think it's really important because, you know, it's a true show. We don't pretend that I've won it all. No, I had real challenges this year. You know, I didn't. One of the things is that I started off this year with a brand spanking new FE that I absolutely love, but I had no time to practice with it, and I literally went into the first contest blind with it, and I had my own personal growth challenges with it, and I certainly feel much more comfortable now with it, but I definitely had challenges through the year with it. And just because, you know, I've been cooking on Traegers, which I, by the way, I still have, for the last 7 years, and here I am cooking with even though it's another pellet cooker, it's something very different going from a horizontal cookers to a vertical one. And so I had some serious challenges this year. I don't think I ever turned in, with the exception of the brisket we turned in in Louisiana, with only that exception, that's the only box I was disappointed in for the entire year. I was still proud of all the food I turned in, with the exception of that brisket.
You know, when you start with shit, it's really hard to turn it up. I mean,
I think Kiefer summed it up. He said, you know, you can't make a turd shine, okay?
Yeah. when I saw you go to inject that thing and it almost bent the injection needle, I said, yeah, we're going to need a whole lot of Louisiana love today. I think me and you prayed over it a good 3 or 4 times.
We prayed over that brisket, and there ain't nothing that was going to fix it.
No, not at all.
But, you know, it's
all.
One of those situations that, you know, this stuff happens, you know, when you're looking for a brisket at Thursday night at 10 o'clock, and you're in every Wally World or supermarket in a town of 2,200, you're not exactly going to find the best brisket. Things happen, and we made the best situation out of it. You know, I had such a good time in Louisiana. I'm actually going to go back to Louisiana in March, and I'm going to teach a class.
Really?
So you can hear that first. It's going to be this. You can announce it for me. I have a class for the very first time in Louisiana because I had so much interest in Louisiana, and it's going to be at the Crescent City Barbecue Showdown, and that's the contest that's going to replace, I believe, Slidell. Slidell? I don't know how to say it.
So
I'm going to actually go and teach that class. And so that's going to be coming up in March, and that's March 27th and 28th. So I'm going to be teaching a full competition class there.
Awesome.
So you know what? We really hope our friends come out from all over Louisiana and Florida and Georgia, and because the contest is going to be great. Billy Rhodes took it over, and he just got approval last week from KCBS, so good for Billy for continuing that contest on. And Billy asked me if I'd come down and teach a class because we had so much interest.
Yeah, and Billy was great to meet in Vidalia. He, mm-hmm. what a, what a, what a, his first time I'd ever met him. What a great genuine guy.
Oh, you know what? He gave me such hell for not calling him about the briskets. He's like, why didn't you call me?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, you know, it was 11 o'clock at night on a Thursday. What was I going to do? So, you know, he is just a great guy. And once again, one of those people in the barbecue community that will go out and give you the shirt off their backs. And, you know, that is so representative of the vast majority of people out there. And I know it's like beating a drum to death, but at the end of the day, I am just still flabbergasted at the immense kindness that barbecue teams show each other and show their communities on an ongoing basis, no matter where you are. So at the end of the day, that to me is a community that I am so comfortable being a part of and proud to be a part of it too.
Sure. Absolutely. And, you know, you're right. I mean, it just, you know, like all the stuff we had happened to us in Vegas with, you know, a cougar getting, you know, dropped off a truck, and next thing you know, the IAB 30 guys are bringing a cooker from Vegas so that we can trade out a cooker with a guy in with Phil the Grill in Laughlin. And but man, it's like, you know, social media may be the best thing to ever happen. I mean, the Brethren's awesome. I love Phil. I love the Brethren. But man, it's like, I go out there and say, you know, it was like this year when we wanted to cook Delaware. Hey, I want to cook in Delaware. Can anybody help me out?
Exactly. And, you know, it's amazing.
Be careful what
it blows
for.
Me away.
Because 20 minutes later, you're going to Delaware. I hope you weren't bluffing, because here's all the equipment you need. Here's what we can do. Let's get it done. So real quick, I know I cut you a little short, Danielle. Let's talk about this new blog post.
My annual Christmas one. You know, I actually have to do that blog post now every year, because I get people that start tweeting me and Facebooking me going, where's your list this year? what am I shopping for this year? You know, do you have any ideas? So this list has been, I've been doing this list for a few years now, and I'm a big believer that if I'm going to put my name to it, I seriously have a massive hate on for anybody who does barbecue blogs, who A, doesn't cook, B, just regurgitates other people's words, or C, doesn't have a freaking clue.
Right.
And so I really, really try to absolutely only recommend things that I personally actually use and have used multiple times. And so I only recommend the things I actually use. And some of them are repeats, and some of them are brand new, and some of them are just things that I think are awesome. And, you know, so this year's blog post is up there. You know, everybody make sure you leave a comment on the DBQ Facebook fan page for your chance to win a 4-pack of Dizzy Rubs. I love those rubs. I'm going to fully tell you, I absolutely love those rubs.
They're
and you know
great,
what? We've
great.
Got great. We've got a great selection of stuff on there.
No.
A great selection this year.
A couple of things that stick out to me is Texas Pepper Jelly, Craig Sherry, you can never go wrong.
No, and I'm telling you, we get that by the case now. We do not mess around with that anymore, because, you know,
dude,
first few times I bought it, it was like, you know, I'll take 2 or 3 bottles. Now I'm like, okay, what do you got? Give me 12 of that.
Well,
give me 12 of that. Give
know,
me 12 of that.
And my thing is, that new sauce of his, I said it 4 or 5 weeks ago on the show, that could be the Blues Hog killer. That sauce is unreal. You know, but once again, I mean, I remember, you know, you talked to Craig too, Danielle, so you can, you know.
Oh,
what
yeah.
About, you know,
I love
Craig.
Craig always
calls you up with kind of that slow Texas draw, and he's like, hey, I got that sauce ready. I know it's about 6 months late, but it's right. You want a couple bottles, try it out? And he said to me, I said, Craig, I said, I'm opening the store in like 3 weeks. He's like, man, you've always been good to me. You'll be the first retailer to have it. Send me a PO, 3 cases on the way. And, man, I we can't keep it on the shelves. I had to order 4 cases this last order, and I've already went through 2.5 cases. I'll be placing another order next week. So 4 cases in my store will last me, you know, a week and a half.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
real quick,
I'm not surprised.
Guys, we're at 90 seconds on the live show. Me and Danielle will probably run a couple minutes late.
Yep.
Come back. You know the drill. You know, I always run late sometimes. Always run late sometimes sounds bad. But You know the drill. Come back in a couple of minutes. You'll be able to catch the archive, download it tomorrow. But we're at that 60-second mark, so just want to let you guys know. The other one I've got to ask you about, Danielle, the Zinger Grill. That thing looks cool as hell.
It was, and, you know, I haven't given it back to Pat yet. So we have this 3-in-1 basic grill, but it's not just a grill. It's a fire pit. It's a cooking grate, flat level surface, and then it's got a you know, raisable grill.
Santa Maria style.
Yeah, almost like a Santa Maria style, and it actually compacts down pretty damn flat. So I was really skeptical when Pat ordered this, my teammate met Pat, and I picked it up for him at a contest. And we've just been using this thing, like, left, right, and center. We cooked on it at the Jack. We did, you know, we've had fire pits. Like, we've been using it constantly. So it's definitely a part of the trailer now.
What does that thing run, price-wise, you know?
You know what? I have no idea. I think it's about 300. I think it's under 300.
Really?
For the quality, I think is outstanding, actually. It was originally a Kickstarter program.
Yeah.
And one of the things is that, $399. Oh, it's sold out right now. How's that? That's awesome. Yeah, it's just on the website.
I'd love to contact that guy and see if he's looking for retailers, because I could sell
Yeah,
that.
I wouldn't be surprised, because we really liked it. And, you know, anybody that's seen it has loved it.
No, and I like it. Nicole tried to buy me a Santa Maria grill for my birthday last year, and just had all kinds of problems. You know, needless to say, I don't have one still. But when I look at that's the first thing I saw when I went through here. I'm like, wow, that's pretty badass. And so when I knew I was going to have you on the show tonight, I was like, man, I want to talk about that. But that looks super cool. If you give it your endorsement, I got to at least get one personally. And if I like it personally, I got to carry it in the store, because that's killer.
The thing is that it's been so highly used. It's one of those things where you kind of look at it going, yeah, okay, whatever. And, you know, kind of skeptical. And then, honestly, we just kept using it more and more. And like I said, we actually cooked on it at the Jack, which was kind of
awesome.
Funny.
Tell me, did you cook on the you don't know Jack about grilling? Did you cook on it there?
No, we weren't allowed to bring in any of our own grills. When we won that, we were only allowed to use a Primo grill, because they are, of course, one of the biggest Jack sponsors there are. And then we were also using a gas grill, and I can't even tell you the brand name of the gas grill. I was so focused and so intent on doing the very best we could that I couldn't even tell you the brand name of the gas grill. I don't even have a clue.
Dude, that was
such
an awesome win. That was so awesome.
Yeah, it was a very, very intense win because, you know, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I think if you're going to call yourself a pit master of any type, you better be able to cook more than just the four main meats. I am absolutely a believer in the fact is that you should be able to have anything thrown at you on any type of grill, and at the end of the day, it should be cooked well, and you should understand how that grill works.
I completely agree.
Yeah, and for those people who say, well, no, it's just the four main meats, that's bullcrap. I disagree wholeheartedly.
No, when I saw that Facebook post that said, oh, we've been selected to be part of the Don't Know Jack About Grilling, I was like, my God, Danielle probably has more of a game face on for this than she does for the actual damn contest right now.
We loved our friends because I put that post up there. We were just so, you know, I've entered that every single time I've gone to the Jack. We've gone to the Jack 3 times, and every year they ask you, you know, are you willing to go do this contest? And I'd never been picked, and I really wanted to do that contest so badly because I think it really, really shows a skill set that, you know, you have anything thrown at you, and you can do it well. And so I will tell you right now, I was so stoked to do that contest. And then we had so many really kind friends that said, you know what, you got this. You know, this is like right up your alley. And that was really nice that they had that kind of confidence in us. We were very, very blessed to have so many friends like that.
No, that's awesome. That's awesome. So when we get to going back to the list, another one you've got on there, which is near and dear to my heart, is our buddy over at Grill Greats, man. A couple weeks ago
we celebrated our Jack about grilling. One of the things is we were allowed to bring some of our tools with us when we did I Know Jack About Grilling. And I've been using Grill Greats since the company first started, which, you know, they are doing really well now. And they've gone through their own struggles to get their products out there to the public and get distribution and things like that. And so I was really happy. We took our Grill Greats with us. There's some footage out there and some filming out there of us that, you can clearly see we had mahi-mahi that we grilled directly. We even grilled the green beans. We grilled, and listen, if it could fit on that Grill Grate, it went on that Grill Grate. And I'm such a huge fan. I think it is a fantastic, fantastic product. I still am working on my original set that I've had for years.
Yep.
I've never had to switch them in for another set. They just seem to get better and better with age. So I am a massive fan of Grill Greats. And let me just make it very clear. I'm kind of glad I'm on a radio show to tell everybody about this. No one that is on my list pays to be on there. I've actually been approached by quite a few companies, and I am absolutely adamant that that is not who I am. I don't want people to buy my vote, basically. And so every product on there is my own personal choice. They are not sponsored posts. They are not purchased posts. I actually went to Dizzy Pig and asked if they would provide a 4-pack of their spices, because I thought, you know what, everybody loves, you know, getting spun. But they're not a sponsor. They don't pay me to do that. But at the end of the day, they are my own personal choices, not paid for at all.
No, and I got to say, man, Chris is like a flavor genius over there at Dizzy Pig.
Absolutely.
You look at some of the stuff he combines, and it's like, you know, but when you put it on meat, it just tastes good. It's hard to knock it. I mean he is a very, very creative guy, very passionate guy, and his products are just unreal.
Yeah, and you know what? They're a good quality product. His flavor profiles are left of center, which is kind of nice. I like that they're a little bit left of center. I like that they don't taste like everything else that's out there. I don't mind paying a little bit extra money because of the quality of ingredients that they have in there. And I think that that is kind of something that's really interesting, because, you know, you go out and I people give me their sauce and rubs all the time. And
yeah,
I'm like, here, try this. And so many of them taste so similar, and the nuances are so microscopic that it's so nice to have something like Tsunami Spin, for example, which is one of my favorite rubs to use at home, and have a completely different flavor profile. And so I love the fact that they're just unique and creative, and it's so much fun to explore with rubs and things like that. So I highly recommend them, even if you don't win the contest. You know, go on over. They've got a 25% off code on there. It's pretty easy to use. You know, all you have to do is put Diva 25 in the checkout, and you get 25% off of their gift box 4. So it doesn't get much easier than that.
That's awesome. The other one you've got on here that I'm going to have to make a little guilty admission here, Danielle, is the only person I got starstruck by at the World Food Championships.
Oh, my buddy Teddy.
Was Ted Reed.
I love Teddy. You know, Teddy and I have been friends since the day I started barbecue, and he's just crazy. Like, crazy. Crazy the fact that Teddy will be, like, you know, up at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, and he is just crazy writing recipes because he's just, like, that talented. He has got more – he has forgotten more than I will probably ever learn. I just love him bits. He's like my big brother in barbecue, you know. He's just awesome.
He's an awesome guy.
We're
there at the Gold Nugget, where the opening ceremony party. I've probably had a little too much of the free dirty tequila they're serving. And
so painful.
I see Ted Reeder. And so I go over, and, you know, I'm talking to Ray and, you know, barbecue folks. And so I'm like, I think Lampy is mid-sentence, and I just walk away. I'm like, holy shit, that's Ted Reeder. So I go over there, and I shake his hand, and I'm like, hey, Ted, how you doing? You know, I know you're good friends with Danielle, which is a friend of mine, and I listen to you on Greg Grimpy's show, and da-da-da. He looks at my shirt, and he goes, I know who you are, Chad. How you doing?
He's a good guy.
Dude, that's awesome. I go, and I got to give one more admission. I was like, he goes, I got an idea what it is. He goes, because you tagged me on Twitter on it twice. You used my Twinkie recipe in a cooking class. I was like,
yep.
Yeah, I did. But I gave you like
Twinkies.
He's like, no. He goes, dude, you did it the right way. He goes, that's a badass dessert, isn't it? He was so cool and down to earth. I was just like, this guy's awesome. You know what I mean? Just
yeah,
like,
I can't say enough good things about him. He goes out of his way to celebrate other people too. You know that?
Yes.
He really does.
Yeah.
I did, I don't know, 2-3 years ago, you know, for our team to, for example, for our team to travel to the Jack to get the whole team there, it's between, I'm going to say $6,000-$7,000.
Right.
That's an expensive-ass contest. And,
sure.
You know, it's one of those things where, you know what, I don't have that kind of cash sitting around. You know, I work hard for every single dollar, just like everybody else does. So we had done a fundraiser in Toronto, a Jack Daniel's fundraiser, where we were doing a complete meal at a local place there in Toronto. And Teddy came out and supported us. And I was, like, floored,
wow.
You know, just because – and donated a whole bunch of stuff for our, you know, like our,
awesome.
Our raffle and everything else.
Yeah.
But he's that kind of guy. He is that kind of guy.
That's kick-ass.
Yeah,
that
he
is
really
kick-ass.
Is. And so I'm such a huge fan of his.
No, and just, I mean, meeting him, what a genuine fellow, man. And what a passion he has for barbecue and grilling. So, yeah, he made a, like I said, the only guy I got struck by. And it's one of those when you walk away from it, you're like, man, I love that guy even more now.
Yep,
what,
absolutely.
What a great... So one more I want to ask you about, the JP's Custom Smoked Seasonings. I've never tried any of JP's stuff. Is it killer?
I love it. I got it. JP, I pulled into the Jack. For anybody who is following me on Twitter, which a lot of people kind of like to see all my little adventures because I don't keep too much to myself. I share a lot.
Yeah.
And so what happened was that I finished filming Barbecue Crawl Season 2. I flew home on the Monday. I got back to my house about 1:30, and I was on the road in my own personal truck by 2:30. I was home for about an hour. I picked my kids
wow.
up from school, gave them hugs and kisses, got back in my truck, and went right down to the Jack. So I got down to the Jack a couple days ahead of time because I needed to still get food and meats and all that other crap, basically all the Jack stuff. And I also wanted to make sure we hit the Jack store before all that crazy, you know, all the teams get there.
Got picked over. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just too insane. I don't like that kind of crowd. So I got in there about the Wednesday night, I guess it is, Wednesday night. And JP Custom Smoke was actually – just pulling in and setting up, and he had said to me, he goes, do you want to try the rubs? I'm like, I'd love to. You know, I'd heard some really good things, and so I won't tell you which ones I use, but I will tell you they're all good.
Okay.
And I would highly recommend anybody who's looking for some really great flavors to go and get you some JP Custom Smoke. I really did like them. I did a lot. So much so that, you know what, yeah, he doesn't even know that's on the list this year. So I hope his orders go up. But, yeah, he had given me some rubs, and so I tried them out, and I thought, wow, these are really good. And I tried them on a few different things, and I love them. And, you know, I use Smoky Mountain Smokers products as well, and they complimented
yep.
them really well. And so I, yeah, I'm a big fan. Big fan now. Big fan. Big
fan. No, I want to I definitely want to reach out to JP and see about getting those in the store because I'd like to try them. And, I mean, if you give me your seal of approval, I mean, I know me and you have been through hundreds of rubs and sauces. And for you to say, hey, this is different, that's real. So Well, and the other thing before I let you go, I want to thank you for including us on the list. I mean, you know, little startup here in Florida, you know, we're but I'll tell you what, I mean, business gets better every day. More people through the door, more sales through the cash register. We're carrying all the staples. I mean, if we use it or have used it and believe in it, and that's what somebody that walked in the store today said, well, how many of these grills out here, you know, that you have you cooked on? I said, dude, if it's on our showroom, I own it. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to put some – like you are about your blog. I mean, this is a store that has, you know, our name on it. I'm not going to, you know – I'm not going to go out there and just try to slap something because of margin or, you know, anything like that. I mean, I'm going to go out there because I believe in it, because I believe in the whole repeat customer approach. You know, so you got to do people right. And so, no, I appreciate you helping us get the word out and putting us on the list. And we'll do right by the folks that come there, girl. I promise you that.
On that, I have no doubt, you know. You guys are just a great bunch of people, and one of the things is that I like dealing with people that I know personally, in addition to, you know, seeing them on the comp circuit. You know, like, this is why I only recommended four places to shop from, because those are the four that I shop from. Those are the people
right.
that I actually have either had bring stuff to contest, had delivered stuff. So you know what? There, and I'm going to list them off. Ontario Gas Barbecue, the largest barbecue store in the world. Capital Appliance and Barbecue in Ottawa, Ontario. The Barbecue Superstore and Whiskey Bent. Those are the four places I actually shop from regularly. You know, there's the odd here and there for other places, but those are the ones that I shop from on a personal basis. Know the people that are running them. Know the people that are great. And know that the delivery will be awesome on products.
So we miss you this weekend in Plant City.
I had such a great time last year at Plant City, and I'll be missing everybody. But you know what? At the end of the day, I am turning a very large number next week. Next Wednesday is my birthday. And it's a big fucking number that I'm not too happy
4-0?
With.
4-0?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, boom!
So I'm not too happy about that, and I am so cranky about turning 40. It's ridiculous.
Well, I'm
going
to tell you.
So I am going out this weekend with my husband, and we are going to go to see Craig Ferguson on Saturday night. And we are going to go out to one of my favorite places to eat, which is St. Germain's Steakhouse at Casinorama, one of my all-time favorite places to eat steak or prime rib. And then we're going to do a little bit of gambling probably, I have no doubt, and call it a day. That's enough.
That's awesome. And so that's cool. I'm sure as much time as you've been on the road, that is a very welcomed weekend for you and Vlad, minus any barbecue, any teammates, just you and him getting to celebrate your birthday. That's kick-ass. Don't forget, end of January, right down here in Lakeland, Florida, Lakeland Pig Festival. Hey,
I know.
Get your ass out of that cold winter, which will be by the end of January. And get you down here cooking a KCBS contest January, a little bit of points for you. So just think about it. You know, we'll get you set up if you want to do it.
I know. It's like everybody's going, so you coming down? Are you coming down? I got so many people from Plant City this past week going, so are you coming? How come your name's not on the list yet? How come you're not coming? I'm like, I'm not coming. And it's one of those things where I'm like, you know, oh my. And, you know, I saw that the team list this year is insane.
Oh, my gosh, it's brutal.
It's insane. So good luck to everybody that's going. I had a fantastic time last year, and, you know, loved cooking next to you last year. Had so much fun doing that. And I still think you got robbed on your chicken, I'm just saying for the record. But other than that, it was a damn good chicken. You know what? I was on the road longer this year than last year.
Yeah.
In addition to being on the road longer, we started later in the season, so it's kind of nice now to just chill out, just relaxing a bit.
No problem, girl. Well, take care. Enjoy the holidays. I'm sure I'll talk to you between here and there. But enjoy this weekend. I'm glad you deserve it. And thanks for making time for the show, D. I always appreciate it.
Absolutely. Have a great night.
All right. Will do. Take care, girl.
Bye, honey.
Bye-bye. All right, guys. Danielle Domofsky, Diva Q. Extra 20 minutes for you guys. That's what we do around here at Whiskey and Barbecue. We run late, but when we run late, we get a lot of content for you. So we are going to tap out. Until next week, keep the pit lit.
Let her go, Chadwick. Turn up your radio. Build a whiskey and drink it down slow. It's Whiskey Bent in the Pit. If you don't listen, boy, you ain't shit out of Law Barbecue Show. He's an all-night smoker, a cold beer holder. His spare ribs will blow your mind. And with his Cosmos Q and his Green Mountain Grills, he'll walk the stage every time. Turn on your radio. Crack a beer, Chad's ready to go. It's Whiskey Ben in the Pit all night, late night. If you don't listen, boy, you ain't right. Outlaw Barbecue Show. Whiskey Ben in the Pit radio show. Good for the egg shakes and sack of. Can I get a raise? Hell, come on.